hearing.
It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen.
Who the fuck is that guy?
X don't give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X don't deliver to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real.
How the hell are you?
Yeah, I got a dog that looks like he's dead laying here next to me.
Ah, you're so lucky.
Yes, I am.
Wish my dog looked like it was dead.
I knew. I was waiting for it. Didn't let me down.
How can I? You know? Welcome to MMA. Welcome to MMA and Stuff on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt. That's Mike. If you're listening to the show, you obviously know where to find us, halfguarded.com. Where else? iTunes, Google Play, anywhere else?
Wherever.
Your dreams?
What did they used to say? Like, and wherever fine clothing is sold or something like that?
Fine retailers everywhere?
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that? Yeah.
And a good restaurant.
Absolutely. So this week we've got a couple shows to review. Really no shows to preview, but a bunch of news in between, so we're going to get right down to it.
Yeah.
This past Friday night, September 23rd, we had UFC Fight Night St. Preux versus Okami, of all people. This was at the Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Japan. Attendance was 8,500. In the main event, OSP defeated Yushin Okami by technical submission via the Von Flue choke, a.k.a. now the Von Prue choke. I believe this is the third time OSP's won with this submission, and he did it really easily. It was a minute 50 into the first round. Okami went for a takedown. St. Preux got on top and just worked the submission and really put Okami out cold. Like, he was dead to rights.
Did you come up with the Von Prue choke on your like that?
No.
Oh. Should have taken credit for it. Totally thought you did.
That's not my style.
I don't know. You're smart.
Guys were calling it the Von Prue choke after that last win he had with it, and I think we were talking about it then, too. We joked around about it.
Yeah, but I probably drank a lot more during shows back then.
Maybe.
I know I did. I mean, look, I can't get really excited about this. Yushin Okami came in on, like, 3 days' notice. He's a welterweight, but still... I was kind of surprised that OSP was able to get the submission just so easily. I thought, you know, maybe he'd beat him down or something leading up to it, but no, he just kind of went in there and he telegraphed it and he nailed it. And Okami, it's one of those chokes where I've had stuff like that happen to me. They're not like your usual chokes. Most times you get choked, there's a little bit of a struggle, there's some sensation. A Von Flue choke is very, very sneaky. Like, even if you know what the guy's going for, you don't really... you just go out. Like, you don't really tap. You don't... It's a pure blood choke, and you can kind of breathe, and the next thing you know, you're waking with someone's nuts in your face.
Why is it so rare in MMA, and why do you think St. Preux has three of them? Because he's not even known for, like, his ground game. Like, I guess he's got some wrestling, but he doesn't have a lot of other submission wins in his career. He doesn't really seem like a guy who would be good, that great at grappling and so good at that one move. And the fact that it's so rare, nobody else really ever does it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, a lot of grapplers, especially, you know, fighters, will find one or two techniques that kind of work for them. But... And for him, he probably just picked up the Von Flue choke and had some success and just kept going with it. I think that he has success with it, I would guess, just due to his size, his arms. I think he has longer arms than normal, and you kind of need a little bit of length in your arms to be able to get around and actually secure the choke. And otherwise, yeah, that's all I could really think. And just, you know, some guys just don't do it or... I don't know, but it's impressive that he keeps hitting it, and it's a really, like, it's going to be, you know, if he wants to hit it on people, they can all know not to put their arm, like, around his head in the wrong position, but that's super instinctual. So he's got himself a nice little weapon there, even if, again, he beat a guy who had for all intents and purposes, is like the size of a woman compared to OSP. So let's not get too excited here. Hairless like one also.
My other takeaway was that Okami didn't really look out of shape. I think he weighed in at like 203 or 204 or something. He didn't really look out of shape at that size. It's amazing he can even get down to 170.
I thought the same thing. I thought, I'm like, wow, he makes 170 pounds. Like, yeah, he wasn't ripped or anything like that. But at the same time, I think, in fact, I'm pretty sure I know that anybody ever listening to this would be like, oh my gosh, I'd be happy as hell to look like that.
Yeah, probably. In the semi-main event, co-main? This might be a co-main. Jessica Andrade.
Yeah, on this show, yeah.
Jessica Andrade defeated Claudia Gadela by unanimous decisions. 30-25, 30-26, and 30-27 on the scorecard. So clearly a dominant win for Andrade. I thought Gadela looked good early, and then she kind of faded, and Andrade kind of just took over with wrestling, striking, kind of beat her up everywhere, and really took her down to the ground at will, and just kind of outclassed Gadela, kind of bullied her around for most of the fight.
Yeah, it's Andrade continues to, she kind of continues to do this, especially at 115. You know, she kind of clipped Joanna in her fight also, but she's just so strong. And, like, you don't really see women that are strong like that unless there's something else going on, and there might be, because she's a pretty muscular-looking woman. I'm just saying she exercises a lot. But she's just tossing girls now, and you know, what she did, especially in the second and the third round in particular with her ground and pound, was just fucking ridiculous. Like, you don't usually see, like, even the men, it's rare to see ground and pound that brutal. Just the way she's slamming the body with her right hand, just kind of that monkey style where you just kind of hit them with your back fist, because it's like you're, that one last dumb brain cell's left is like smash, like a Hulk, like the Hulk would smash. And holy fuck, did those shots look like they hurt. So, I guess she gets another shot at Joanna, and damned if, you know, again, I watch it going, shit, you know, she's just a beast in there.
Yeah, I mean, beating Gadela is impressive, because she's generally considered probably the second best strawweight in the world after Joanna. So, huge win for Andrade, and gets her back in the mix for a title shot, for sure. But yeah, good fight. There was action, and that they were throwing down, both of them. It was no fault of Gadela. She looked good, but she just couldn't handle the power of Andrade. It just seemed almost like unfair. I felt technically on the feet Gadela was better, but Andrade was just like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah, the bull also hated Chinese people.
Yeah, and fine plates and saucers and whatnot. Prior to that, we had Dong Young Kim defeating Takanori Gomi. This is the other Kim that isn't as good, defeating Takanori Gomi, who hasn't been good in a long time, by TKO, a minute 30 in the first round. Gomi's just old and battered and washed up and needs to retire, really.
Yeah, this was sad. I mean, there's something really wrong with Gomi. You know, he's like our Lofty. He's getting hit once and he's down. And, like, even, like, if you weren't a professional fighter, you'd probably be able to take a punch better. Like, you'd hurt and you'd go down and be knocked out, but he's going out. Like, that dude's got to have CTE. He'd better go to Boston soon.
So his UFC run, not to rub it in on poor Gomi, I'm sure he's listening and this is really going to bum him out, but since his UFC debut in 2010, he has gone, you have any guesses what his career record in UFC is?
2 wins and I'll say 6 losses.
It's 4-8.
He's got 4 wins? He's got 12 fights in the UFC? What the hell?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're getting old and these things fly by. He's got the Tyson Griffin win.
And Mac Danzig. That's what
Mac
I remember.
Mac Danzig. He beat some guy, Eiji Matsuoka.
Oh, Eiji Matsuoka. Okay.
And Isaac Valley Flag by unanimous decision.
I kind of remember these things.
That was his last win. And that was in 14. Since then, he's lost 5 in a row.
Hey, man. Just goes to show that combat sports at their core are nothing more than an extension of deep-seated ethnic divides. Because if he wasn't Japanese, he sure as shit wouldn't be in the company.
Yeah, probably not. Five losses in a row, you would think that would be it. You would hope, for his sake. Although, knowing him, he'll go to Rise and then get beat up.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's weird, because you think the right thing for UFC to do would be release him, let him go, he should retire, we can't employ this guy anymore. But is there a point in doing that if he's just going to go fight somebody in Japan?
Yeah, the point is having some little moral dignity and having some authority in your voice when you do this for somebody else. Because, okay, he's not making you any money. He's not going to make anybody else money. It's not like you're giving up a prime Bob Sapp here. It's Gomi. The dude was, like, at his peak in, what, 2005?
Right.
Like, holy shit. Like, Donald Trump's president now. Let's get out of the Gomi era.
Gomi was I would let him go. I'm not defending it.
Gomi was a George W. Bush champion, all right? And we need something a little... Look, we got our new champion. We got Conor McGregor. Could you have a more Trumpian champion?
That's right. Before that, we had Gokhan Saki making his UFC debut. He defeated Henrique da Silva by knockout, 4:45 in the first round. Saki stopped all of da Silva's takedowns. I think we both kind of thought, even though da Silva's a low-level light heavyweight in the UFC, he'd be able to get a takedown and just kind of ride Saki for the fight, and that did not happen at all. Saki stopped a couple takedowns and then just kind of battered da Silva on the feet, just punches, kicks, everything, and da Silva's face was a mess after 4 minutes, and eventually he went down.
I hope that whoever it is in the UFC and someone there that's really pushing for Gokhan Saki here, I hope they have a change of heart, because this man is going to die in this next fight. Like, I was not impressed at all. Henrique da Silva barely looked like he knew how to even try a takedown. They were, like, blocked, and it wasn't like, oh, look at that, little bit of wrestling. It was kind of like, hey, grab me. I'm just going to push him in the face and move away. Like, it's day 101. And then Saki was... fucking
tight. If it works, though. I mean,
yeah, but it works, but it's kind of like, it's got a very Muay Thai kind of background and whatever. Right. And then there was a couple of times Saki got hit. Fine. That happens. He didn't seem to show too many effects from it. But he got tired in like 3 minutes. Like, and it wasn't just like he got tired. His hands are on his hips tired. Like, that shit shouldn't happen, man. So he's not going to be anything.
He claimed afterwards it was because it was his first, like, MMA fight, and it's a different kind of cardio you need in MMA versus kickboxing.
Oh, I'm sure that it's a little different. At the same time, your cardio has to be a little bit better for different for boxing than mixed martial arts, and Conor didn't gas in 30 seconds. But come on, dude. Like, seriously, you're a professional athlete at a high level.
I agree.
And you couldn't go 3 minutes of fighting, and you didn't even grapple. Bitch. You Turkish bitch. I'm going to eat you in November, motherfucker.
Huh. Taruto Ishihara defeated Rolando D by unanimous decision, 28-27, 28-20. Rolando Delome? Rolando, no. D-Y.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So 28-27, 28-27, 29-27. This went, I think the issue with this one was a bunch of, like, low blows. Like, Ishihara got kicked three times in the nuts, and on the third one, the ref took a point from D, I think it's pronounced D, D-Y, and he was upset about it, didn't agree with it, and he said, you never warned me, even though the ref had warned him twice. It was kind of a weird situation, but that's what ended up getting Ishihara the win. Otherwise, it would have been a draw, and I think there was like a 10-8 round. Ishihara like won the first round 10-8. It was kind of a weird fight, but Ishihara got the win. He wants to see another day.
That one cock kick was a bad shot. I mean, he was on the ground like screaming and like writhing around. Like, I don't know, man. Maybe he's a worker or something, but that shit looked nasty.
Yeah, I thought somebody was joking about it. He was like, of all the people for that to happen to, you know, Ishihara's out there banging all these chicks. Yeah. Like, all the women in Japan were really upset when that happened. Then we've got Hussier Formiga defeating Olga Sasaki by rear naked choke that opened the main card on FXX.
Yeah, that was just, he Damian Maya'd him.
The prelims I actually watched yesterday, oh my god, they were painful. Did you watch any of those fights?
Yeah, maybe not, actually, now that I think about it. I watched the part of the I watched two chicks fight for a while.
Yeah, the strawweight fight, yeah.
And
it was painful. It was painful. They all went to decision. They were none of them were like, I hate to diss fighters because obviously any of them wreck me. But at this level, at UFC level, it was like, ugh, this is looking a little shabby. But
he lives in Massachusetts.
Yeah, come find me, kick my ass. Wouldn't it be funny if let's see. Shinzo Anzai came to Cape Cod and kicked my ass because of what I'm saying. Or Luke Jamot from New Zealand. Be a lot of effort to come and beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, that was also confusing. Oh, I remember watching one of those fights because I was confused. And I was like, Ryan Jamot's still around? And I'm like, oh, it's a different guy. Like, I seriously was looking at him going, I don't seem like the right weight class. Is that right?
Ryan Jamot got run over.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is he not fighting anymore, he's dead.
I knew his name was in my head for something.
Remember, it was like a hit and run?
Yeah, that's right.
Like outside a bar. Yeah.
Sorry, Jimmo. Jimmo sounds like a nickname. Like, your last name shouldn't be Jimmo. Like, that's something, hey, Jimmo! Anyways.
I think he's from Canada. Maybe it's formal up there. Fight of the night went to Andrade and Gadela. Performance of the night, OSP and Gokhan Saki. For those good takedowns he had. Then, on Saturday, on Spike, we had a Bellator show. This was Henderson versus Pitbull at the SAP Center in San Jose. In the main event, Patrici Pitbull Frere defeated Benson Henderson by split decision, 28-29, 29-28. I don't know what happened to Ben Henderson, man. He used to be, you know, the best lightweight in the world, and he goes to Bellator where you think he's going to extend his career, get some wins, kind of rebuild his name after losing a couple fights in the UFC, and it's just not happening. He's losing left and right, and even the fight he won against the smaller Pitbull was on like a leg injury. He won by TKO or something, if you remember that fight. So I don't know. I don't know what happened to Ben Henderson. He's only, I think he's 33, so it's not like he should be losing to mid-level Bellator guys.
His god is not an awesome god anymore. That's what happened.
He got married.
Bitches be crazy, man.
Any thoughts on the fight?
Oh, it was awful. It was boring and cursed them all. Ben Henderson sucked.
Doesn't seem like a rapid descent, though, for him.
It does, except for it's just we see this all the time. Like, UFC seems to let guys go basically the perfect moment. Rarely do these guys seem to come back and do anything. Like, it's not like Rory McDonald lit the world. I guess he did okay, but, you know, a lot of these guys, they're gone, and they're just kind of like, eh, oh yeah, that guy does suck. And I don't think it's always because they suck. I think a lot of these guys just, it's, once you're out of the major leagues, you think you can just kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. You don't train, you don't do a 12-week camp for a Bellator fight, and then you find out that these dudes in Bellator aren't that bad, and you're also older, and
they want to beat Ben Henderson. They want to beat the UFC, former UFC champ.
Yeah, again, like, if they're in the UFC, they wouldn't necessarily have, like, that same extra urge on them, like, right. But yeah, and Bellator's like, hey, it's just better than winning a title, because no one knows who is the lightweight champion in Bellator.
It's probably a shitty comparison, but you hear about it in pro sports a lot, when like the worst team in the NFL, whoever it might be that year. Like when the Jets play the Patriots, let's say. Mm-hmm. For the Jets, that's their Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're going to give it everything they got because they're going against the best team in the league, even though they're 1-12. Like, we're going to beat the Patriots. This is the biggest game of the year. Let's take them out and whatever, take away their first seed or whatever it is. And I think sometimes these Bellator guys go in against these former UFC fighters who might be millionaires and have been making all this money and aren't going at it 100%, consider the Bellator guys lesser, like you said, and end up losing just because the other guy wants it more.
Yeah, you know, you see this a lot in Europe and soccer football over there, where, again, it's actually kind of very similar to MMA in that United States, MMA is kind of like the one major sport we have where there's like two different levels of the sport that are both kind of watched. It's not like it's AAA baseball and Major League, like, but like nobody watches a D League. I guess you kind of watch college football, but so you, like, you have like this thing. The UFC's better. Bellator is number two. Europe has the same thing, and you see this a lot when smaller teams get to play one of the bigger clubs, and they'll be like, you know, literally it's the biggest event in the history of that club, or for a lot of those fans, they'll come out and like, it's amazing. And this actually, some of the commentators were talking about this on yesterday, when Liverpool played in the Champions League, and they went to Moscow, and they had a draw, and they should have beat the team, but they pointed out that Liverpool is one of the premier leagues teams, one of the premier clubs in the world, a big legendary club, and for Spartak Moscow there, even though like they're the big team in Russia, it's still fucking Russian soccer. It's a piece of shit, and like for them, this is a huge deal to play Liverpool at home. And you know, yeah, that little oomph that you kind of get, yeah, it probably works. And I'm sorry, everybody, that we're boring you, because who gives a fuck about Pitbull and Ben Henderson? We're spending way too much time on this. These guys are just balls off. They're ball sweat is what they are.
And the co-main, Paul Daly, defeated Lorenz Larkin by knockout, 240 in the second round. This was an upset to me. I thought Larkin was going to be the more well-rounded. More well-rounded guy and be able to beat Daly. I mean, Rory McDonald destroyed Daly, and no one really thinks Lorenz Larkin's on McDonald's level, but you would have thought Larkin could use some wrestling, because that's always Daly's weakness. He can't stop really any takedowns, and Larkin decided to stand with him and got rocked, and I think Daly landed a left, and Larkin just kind of froze in time. Like he stiffened up, was standing up straight, then Daly landed a couple more shots, and it was over.
Yeah, no, a huge win for Paul Daly. It's the same thing we just talked about. Daly needs it more. Larkin, although I don't think Daly's quite that kind of, you know, he's a fucking nut job. But look, he's got power. And he landed his hook, and then he said next that he wants somebody. And then Michael Page. And then he later said, I don't really want him, but that's what people want me to say. It was a very odd post-fight interview, but this man's a dipshit. But he's a dipshit that's usually kind of exciting.
Yeah, he said he wanted MVP, but he really said he wanted, like, McDonald or
Ben Henderson?
No, whoever the champ is. Not Koreshkov. Lima. I think Douglas Lima.
Oh, yeah, Douglas Lima.
He said, because he feels like he's more on that level. He should be in a title fight as opposed to fighting MVP, who's never really beaten anybody of note.
So he basically was like, I want one of, like, five or six guys. Just anybody kind of good and more of a name than me. I don't really care.
Well, it's interesting because the MVP fight is kind of interesting because they're both strikers, but MVP is younger. He's going to have the reach advantage. If you're looking for a fun, exciting fight, and for Daly, I don't know how that matchup fares for him. For MVP, it's a great fight.
I think Daly just kind of like, he's going to always publicly never turn down a challenge because he's got that street fight type of mentality there. Otherwise, yeah, it could be a good fight. I don't know. I've seen a lot of fights like that where on paper you go, that could be great, and then you go, oh, wait. Turns out that both guys look really good usually because they're in there with somebody that is just not as good a striker as them, but they will stand anyways, and then they can look really great. But if they're both in there with like a good striker, they'll probably just neutralize each other, or one of them will emerge as the super better striker, and we'll have a Highlander situation, and Raiden will be very happy.
Hopefully we'll get the latter.
Yeah.
Roy Nelson defeated Javi Ayala by unanimous decision, 30-26, 29-28, 29-28. Nelson really won with wrestling. He actually was, I thought he was getting outstruck on the feet, and then worked some takedowns and controlled on the ground and took the decision.
Yeah, this is what a UFC veteran does when he fights a new. The whole show seems to have that theme. It's like a weird NWO type of deal, except for like instead of Hall Nash and Hogan, it'd be like Marty Jannetty and Bash and Booger jump ship. That's the first fat guy I could think of.
Bastion Booger, yeah. He also played Friar Ferguson. That was also a weird gimmick around that time.
Bastion Booger sounds way funnier.
It does, but Fryer Ferguson's even weirder.
Yeah, and then they could bring in Devon.
Yeah, religion gimmicks always get over well.
Undertaker, look, dude, people can say what they want. Even till the day he died, my dad still thought it was one of the funniest things in the world that Vince McMahon crucified his own daughter. And he's got a point.
How dare you? It was a symbol.
I mean, it was so great. That was WWF. They're so, like, at their peak of just, like, we're going to do they were at their Trumpian peak. They were just getting attention for whatever they wanted.
Yeah. Those were the days. Aaron Pico defeated Justin Lin. Pico wasn't born yet when the Attitude Era ended. I'm kidding. It's close, though. He's
I was going to say.
So, 97. He was there when Russo just got the book.
Yeah.
Anyway, he defeated Justin Lin by knockout. Looked great. Highlight reel KO. Lin just flopped to the ground, starched, whatever you want to call that, murked. He got wrecked.
Yeah, my only temper on my praise for Pico is I have no idea who or really what Justin Lin is, but if he's anything competent as a fighter, we just saw, you know, I mean, there were times he looked like Vitor Belfort. There were times he looked like Fyodor. His wrestling was smooth, and that left hook at the end showed a kind of natural power that you're just not going to see. He's still 21, young as hell, looked fucking just perfect out there. Like, he did not look like a guy in his, realistically, his first pro fight, because the first one was so short. He just looked smooth, and you kind of forget, like, you shouldn't judge these guys too harshly right away. Again, it is, like, really early in his career, but shit, dude, like, he looked pretty damn good. But now he'll probably be overhyped, and somebody will be like, hey, put him in there with Pitbull or Ben Henderson, or boom. I can probably beat Ben Henderson, but somebody else.
The opener on Spike was Goichi Yamauchi defeating Adam Piccolotti by rear naked choke. This is kind of a fight with two lesser known guys, but if you've been paying attention and following Bellator, they're both names on the rise who have looked good in their previous fights. So big win for Yamauchi. He just dominated Piccolotti on the ground, got him down, took the back, and got the rear naked choke, made it look elementary.
Sounds like a Tinder date.
All right, and that was Bellator in San Jose. In other news, we've got final numbers for what we think is Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view numbers. Oh. It looks like the United States final numbers are going to come in around 4.4 million, so about 200,000 shy of the record held by Mayweather and Pacquiao.
But I bet it's bigger overall because Ireland's got like every fucking potato fucker in the world. What a horrible hack thing that is. But yeah. Also, I saw that the other one did like 2 million buys. Golovkin and Canelo.
Really?
I saw something. I'm like, holy shit,
that's more than I thought. I was thinking like 1.5. I know we were doing predictions before, and
$1 million, I think.
Yeah, but Canelo and Chavez Jr. there, was it Julio Cesar?
Yeah.
Yeah, did 1-1. I'm like, this is going to have to do at least 400,000 more than that.
In fairness, though,
it was a joke of a fight.
I did just kind of see that number in passing, and it very well may come from a boxing promoter, and they're way more dishonest than Dana White is on this shit, so who knows?
So in the end, I mean, people will spin it that the McGregor-Mayweather fight didn't break the record and it didn't beat the gate record. Mega success, 4.4 million. It's the second biggest show ever by 2 million, which was De La Hoya and Floyd doing 2.4. So huge success for a guy who's 0-0 as a boxer versus a guy who's 49-0.
And for the first time in boxing's recent history, people paid money for a pay-per-view and weren't, like, angry when it was over. Like, seriously, like, that was the first time I can recall a high-level boxing pay-per-view. Now, the fight back in June with what's-his-face Joshua, I thought that was actually a pretty good presentation as far as everybody came together. It's like, oh, wow, that guy's a star. But it was on HBO. Going out there, shouting out $100, $70, or whatever. Like, You never hear people going, oh, that was so worth it. It's every single fucking one of them. And probably it's because most of them have been Mayweather. But every time everybody goes, I fell for it again. I can't believe it.
Well, I think people like the Canelo Triple G fight. It was high-level boxing. It was just a
fucked-up
decision.
That was after.
Pissed everyone off.
That was after.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aha.
So we've got two in a row. We've got a streak now.
Although even that one, come on. Seriously, it happened and it fucking ends in a draw. Like, it's only boxing would have it. And not only a draw, a laughable draw with a laughably corrupt judge. It's just so boxing.
I meant to ask you, do you think she's corrupt or just incompetent? Like, when you say corrupt, do you think she's, like, bought off? What do you mean?
I don't she's probably just, I don't know. I want to say she's just incompetent. I generally like to attribute to stupidity instead of, you know, to malice. But maybe I'm just naive because I just saw that they've had all these people in basketball and college basketball getting busted as part of the FBI's thing. And one of the guys was, like, the president of, I'll say, Tennessee, something like that. And his previous job had been, like, a high-level compliance advisor for student athletes for the NCAA. So, like, seriously, like, the dude who's in charge of making sure students aren't being corrupt is now being investigated by the FBI for buying them off. So maybe she is just being bought off. Or, she's probably just incompetent, though. But fuck, man, this shit happens every single time. It's just incredible how awful they are. And so I will say in finale, summation, I don't know.
I saw an interview with Adelaide Bird. She's the judge we're talking about who had the really screwed up scorecard. Like, I think it was 118-110 or something in favor of Canelo, and everybody else scored the fight for Triple G by like a couple rounds anyways. And she has really thick glasses. Like, it was almost funny, like, how thick her glasses and big they were, because it's like what you would picture if you pictured like a blind referee who couldn't see it, like Mr. Magoo sort of shit. It's pretty good.
You know, here's the thing. If your name's Adelaide Bird, you're probably going to have big, thick glasses, and you're either black or you're a racist. Like, you're just going to be an old lady, and you're going to be one of those two.
She appeared darker than Caucasian.
All right, so she's black.
Bad news. I know you were looking forward to Paige VanZant's flyweight debut, but she had to pull out of her fight with Jessica Ai, who was also making her flyweight debut. VanZant wrote on Twitter that
Was that going to be like next week?
It was scheduled for UFC 216.
Yeah, okay, so next week.
Not next week. Not this Saturday, the following Saturday.
That makes this even funnier.
Anyway, she has a herniated disc in her back, double ear infection, sinus infection, pink eye, and ringworm. And that's why she won't be fighting in 2 weeks.
That's a hell of a combination there. I mean, I look, Derek Lewis already did this better than anyone when he said, you're supposed to eat the ass after they shower. It's so perfect. It explains all of her symptoms. I don't know what the fuck she's into. All that shit. It's pink eye. Like, seriously, pink eye? I don't know how anyone gets pink eye except for dirty people. You have to be dirty to get pink eye.
Yeah.
So she's a dirty person.
I've never had it, but I know. Either. All right.
My brother's had it twice.
We could go. He is disgusting.
Oh.
You could go through each item one by one. Herniated disc, she's a fighter, she could have a screwed up back. But after that, it gets weird. Like, double ear infection, besides you having disgusting ears, like, most adults don't get ear infections. It's like a little kid thing, or you went swimming in a lake or something, and you got water in your ear. Like, most normal adults don't get ear infections. So that's like a little kid one. Then the sinus infection, yeah, adults get them, but usually you just get, like, antibiotics and you're better.
I guess that could kind of screw you up if you got it at the wrong time and you're trying to train.
Yeah, no, I get it, but you take a few days off and you're like back to work. You know what I mean? That's a weird one. The pink eye is a weird one. If you wear contacts, I know sometimes people get pink eye. I never have. I've worn contacts since the fourth grade, but like my brother's gotten it and stuff. And like I guess like if you don't,
I never got it when I wore contacts.
Yeah,
I mean,
me neither.
Honestly, all this shit just sounds like she got something weird. Like when you get pink eye and sinus infection and ear infections all at the same time, clearly those are all related to each other. Like I don't need to be the new autistic doctor on that TV show, The Good Doctor, to see that one.
I don't even know what does that mean. There's an
oh yeah, there's
doctor.
Yeah, it debuted on Sunday night at ABC. It's called The Good Doctor. It's about a young man who's autistic, but he's like a doctor protege. It's by the guy that created House. So he's basically creating like House with even fewer social skills. It was very poorly done, but the kid who's doing the acting actually did a very good job in my limited knowledge of what an autistic looks like. But yeah.
Ringworm isn't a worm. It's a skin infection that's caused by mold-like fungi I've never had that. That live on the dead tissues of your skin, hair, and nails.
It's,
you can get it.
Matt.
Okay, so that it's plausible.
Yeah, there's always some asshole that will, like, he'll have it, and he doesn't tell anybody, and he shows up, and you get it, and you like a couple days later, you go, oh, fuck me. It's a tiny, it's red and circular, a little bumpy. You just put some athlete's foot cream on it usually, though, and it goes away. Like, that one, it wouldn't drain you. You could train, so if you just covered it up, it would have no impact on your life at all.
So she shouldn't have mentioned the ringworm.
It's just something else to feel sorry for her. Unless you got, like, the ringworm. I guess you could get it on something really painful, like your eye.
But she's already got pink eye in
the... Maybe she doesn't. Maybe it's just the ringworm is red, her eyes are white, and so it looks pink.
Mm. God bless Derek Lewis. Moving along, Matt Brown has a fight coming up against Diego Sanchez on November 11th in UFC Norfolk. He's 36 years old, and he is announcing this will be his last fight, unless he decides to fight again. Very weird retirement here.
To be honest, I'm glad you brought this up.
Okay.
This is going to be the last podcast we ever do.
Wow.
Unless I do another one next week. Tonight, my last day on Earth. Unless I wake up tomorrow. Thanks, Matt. Really clear things up there.
So, he claims... Would you like to hear some of what...
Does he want to get back to the sweet Lady H? Ooh, the doggy's running in his sleep. Yeah, what did he say?
He said, I didn't get into this to be a journeyman or to be in second place. I came into this to be a champion, and I got very, very close to that. Eh. I think I was one round away from beating Robbie Lawler and getting a title shot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're delusional. But
being that I got that close, right now I don't feel like I have the hunger inside my heart that's going to get me back to that point. That's not to say I won't ever come back one day. I don't plan on pulling out of the USADA testing pool, and I don't plan on canceling my UFC contract because I'd like to keep that just in case there. But I'm not going to come back unless I plan on making a run for the title.
Well, hooray for him. You've been a journeyman your whole life. Your whole story was, hey, look at the journeyman's got a bunch of wins in a row all of a sudden. You can't take a shot at the body, so it doesn't really matter what you do. And that's a huge negative against him. And this sounds like he's just delusional. This is something a Diaz brother says when what they really do is speaking code for I would like a big fight and a lot of money. But you're Matt Brown. You're gonna get whatever they give you, dude.
Another person who's probably gonna get whatever they give them is Kamaru Usman. He came out the other day to say, the UFC doesn't promote me because I'm from Nigeria, which is weird. Because here's what he said. I like reading quotes, so we don't misspeak and get beat up. He said...
You're really afraid of that.
I am. Well, I wasn't until you mentioned it. Now I picture people crawling in my basement window and coming to get me from Japan.
I think about that all the time, though.
Yeah, like
I spent I'm not joking. I spent my formative years planning for ninja attacks. And ninjas are all Japanese. So.
He said, his lack of marketing push can come only down to one thing, that he's from Nigeria. He said, I've been ready
for
that.
The only thing.
I don't know if they think, well, he's from Nigeria, and we haven't really broken into that market yet, so we can't really sell a lot of fights there, or we don't have a TV contract there. So what's the point of pushing a guy from that area in Africa? I'd like to think that's what it is, because it can't be anything else. You can't say that I don't have the skills. You can't say that. I have the skills. You can't say I don't have the confidence, because I have that.
Oh, that
you can't
matters.
Say I don't have the belief, because I have that.
Okay.
I'm not the ugliest guy in the world. It's not that I'm not marketable. I mean, come on. It makes no sense as to why they are not doing, except for, oh, well, we haven't broken into Africa, so there's no point in pushing someone from there. Now,
I mean, that's probably somewhat true. If Nigeria was a booming market, he'd be getting pushed. I agree with him. It's just that you come from if Nigeria was also like,
if he was from the States, he'd still be in the same place he is.
Yeah, but
he lives in the States now.
No, that's true. But I'm just saying that if Nigeria was a huge market, he would be pushed more. I have no doubt about that. I believe 100% that if Nigeria was as big a market as Germany, he'd probably be being pushed a little bit more.
Pushing Ngannou. He's from France. MMA is not even legal in France.
Yeah, but he's also a heavyweight. And it's France, not Nigeria. I mean, I think Kamaru, there should just take it easy, dude. Like, come on. Just go out there and win your fucking fights. You're in the Ultimate Fighter weirdo season from Florida. Like, no one really knows who you are yet. And when two of your four main qualifications are, I really want to do it, well, I would say that's a really bad reason for someone to have a job, but fuck it, we just made Trump president, so I guess Kamaru, you should get a title shot. What the fuck? Just don't expect anybody to fucking buy it, because no one is going to send money for the purpose of getting entertainment to a Nigerian. Ever. No one's sending a Nigerian money.
Not even a princess or queen?
It has to be an attractive princess.
That should be his gimmick. He should work that into his...
That he's a princess?
No, that, like, his post-fight speech, like, he should talk about emailing him money and to his family and stuff.
He just tells the whole crowd, everybody, I want to let you know, Dana White told me that if you guys give me just $5,000, I will get the post-fight bonus, and then I can pay you back with interest. Fuck, that's a good game. I'm going to do that one.
It's time for USADA news. I've got two this week we should talk about. Chris Cyborg, of all people, who you would never suspect to have USADA issues, seemed to be on the same page after a sample collection controversy last week. And I'll be honest, I'm reading this verbatim from a competitor's website. The police were called on doping control officers who came to drug test Cyborg in Thailand, the UFC featherweight champion tweeted Friday. Cyborg has been training at Phuket Top Team for the last few weeks. Bloody Elbows Ian Kidd reported on the situation over the weekend. Despite the apparent issues with Thai authorities, Cyborg's sample was collected without issue and is now at a laboratory, according to a statement USADA sent to MMA Fighting on Tuesday. Essentially, she fully complied with the sample collection process. They got what they needed, yada, yada, yada. Apparently, what happened was, essentially, she's in this hotel gym training, and a couple of weird-looking people come in, and they're from USADA to collect this sample. And somebody in the hotel calls the fucking Thailand police that there's people stalking Cyborg. So the cops show up and try and stop the USADA sample collectors.
So she didn't call the cops?
She claims she did not. Ian Kidd.
She's such a big celebrity in Thailand.
Ian Kidd, who's a reporter for somebody, wrote, maybe, yeah, sure, says, seems someone, and around someone he put asterisks, seems someone called the cops on USADA agent sent to get Chris Cyborg's anti-doping sample to try to prevent them taking it for testing. Usually when you put, like, a word in an asterisk, it means it really wasn't. So he's implying Cyborg called the cops. But USADA and the hotel and Cyborg are saying that's not the case. So who the hell knows?
It's, first of all, hotel, USADA wouldn't know. The police wouldn't know. The hotel might know. Or they might just assume, fuck, we did it or whatever. Either way, what is this story? She's in fucking in a hotel in Thailand. And fuck it, Thailand. She's in a hotel. And she's just on the treadmill or something. And some dudes are walking around. And she goes, oh, those are kind of weirdos. Or no, she doesn't. Somebody in the hotel. Not her, of course. But somebody in the hotel just sees two men in the hotel gym, and they go, ah, that looks weird. Let's call the cops. Like, what? Why would anybody do that? Why if you're running a hotel and you saw people in the gym, unless they were acting really weird, how long could they be acting weird for? They walk in, hey, we're with USADA. Gotta go pee now. They don't fucking walk around and take measurements and start smelling underwear beforehand or whatever. They walk in the building and they say hello. They don't want to get caught. As soon as they're noticed, the jig is up. Somebody, I don't know, call the cops and get them to come in and make sure that your dick pill isn't in your system for those 24 hours or whatever. It's so stupid.
I can give you more details. I know those were more rhetorical questions, but basically, Phuket top team owner Boyd Clark wrote a post on the Underground.
Boyd Clark.
Which I didn't even know still exists. The Underground still exists, huh? My Thai staff was made aware of several people believed to be stalking Chris Cyborg as they would not identify themselves. We were told by our staff that two people checked into a hotel room next to Chris and were acting strange by asking questions about them. Cyborg was placed in an exclusive location to provide her privacy while training at my gym. Initially, my staff thought the couple were just overly excited fans.
Yeah, they're lying. Fucking lie. Clearly, they're just a bunch of liars. Look at this whole fucking shady business. She's filed for shit before. USADA's in somebody's pocket on some of these people, it seems like. Although, not John Jones, apparently. But if you're Brazilian, it's like there's this idea of the bigotry of low expectations. I think that's really some of what's at play here. These Brazilians do shit, and everybody's just kind of like, well, maybe they're just kind of dumb or this or that. It's like, no, they're fucking lying. They're cheats. And it's okay to call them cheats. It's okay to say that most of them probably are cheats because they are. It just happens all the time. And it's not just exclusively them. John Jones hid under a fucking ring for all day to avoid peeing. Which is absolutely insane. That's something you'd like see in Caddyshack or whatever. Like, they're getting Porky's, and then they like turn off the lights and go, guys, hello, can I come out? Like, that's just ridiculous. And then here she is. It's still a better drug testing program than any other sport, I'm guessing. But the fact that this shit keeps happening, and everybody just goes, oh, well, you know, we'll see. Yeah, you never know. No wonder, and yet some of these fighters out there just like trust USADA. They just, oh yeah, they told me what to do, so I did it. Dumb shit.
Tim Kennedy would shower in front of guys.
Yeah.
That's how trusting he was.
I'm surprised he wasn't there. Maybe that's why they had the cops called on him. Tim Kennedy's like, I see two bogeys on the perimeter here. This is not good. Call in now. Do I have permission to fire? Do I have permission to fire? I have locked and loaded. I have a kill shot. I'm taking it. What? Nah, I don't care. I didn't hear what you said. Bam. He just murders people. What? They shouldn't have been walking around with me. I'm only a professional fighter and I know how this shit works. Either that or maybe USADA really needs to get some better people. And again, yeah, it's somebody whose job is to collect piss for a living, so they're not high on the food chain, but still, do USADA guys all just... No. I can't say it. I was going to say, like, do they all look weird and creepy and blah, 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 but nobody looks weird and creepy. Like, you see delivery men all over the place. It's not like they couldn't be hiring possibly hiring people that just look like pedophiles. Fucking pedophiles don't even look that creepy. These people all make it sound like they're lurking outside their bushes with their hands in their pants and all this weird shit. It's like, they're just knocking on your door and ringing a bell. You know that's what they're doing.
Oh, God. Who's Brett Rogers? They're not walking around like Brett Rogers?
Jesus. Just out in the middle of the cold, sucking guys off for 2 bits. Oh, yeah.
It's like at a library or something.
Yeah, he's in the library for at least one of the, I guess, sexual assaults is what you would call them.
The whole time you were doing that spiel, I was trying so hard to think of Brett Rogers' name. Like, it was such a struggle. I'm like, who was that guy? In another USADA, I don't even know what you would call this situation, I guess, potential anti-doping violation is the term we use for this. I know you're a big fan of Azamat Mirsakhanov, right?
I have his poster, so yeah.
Is it above your bed?
Like, no, it's on the wall next to me. He's my favorite Azerbaijani pop star.
He was flagged by USADA. The reason I bother even to mention this one is because
he's a...
Because why?
It's important.
I'm not sure why it's important, but he has won... He's 7-0, and he was supposed to make his UFC debut against Joachim Christensen back in June, but he pulled out due to injury. And he hasn't been rebooked for a fight, so he's never even fought in the UFC, and he's already popped, which is always a good way to start a new job.
Yeah, it's kind of like, even like the biggest of potheads are like, all right, I'm getting a new job. I know I got to get this out of my system. Like, even they understand, got a new job, got to have a clean piss test. Like, after you get the job, then you can, like, do whatever you want. But you got to at least get through one. But then again, these are all... I was talking to my brother today about Hoist Gracie and him getting popped against Sakuraba. And
yeah, he was like off the charts, like crazy.
He was
testosterone.
I don't think he really was, because first of all, you look at him, it's not like he looked like he was that jacked. And more than that, I think he just didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Maybe.
And I think there's a lot of these guys out there that they just don't understand how to play the game. Most of them are pretty good, and they do get away with it for a long time. And then you got some, you know, some dumbass, he's from fucking Russia, and he's probably used to either not getting tested or having the Russian government bury it, because that's what they do, because everybody's cheating.
I like to think so.
How's that marriage of yours?
I meant in MMA. And sports, pro sports, because it's not even real life. Anyway... In upcoming fight news, we got a lot of fights coming up. We've got Kobe Covington versus Damian Maia at UFC Fight Night 119 in Brazil on October 28th.
That's fun.
I think we even kind of talked about that one. That fight's interesting to me because Covington, we've talked about for being really good at takedowns and good on the ground, but I don't think he wants to take Maia down. And I don't know if Maia would even be able to get him down, so we might end up just having kind of a shitty kickboxing match there.
Yeah, this feels like a potential, like the UFC going out of their way to put a roadblock in Covington's path, because, I don't know, man, like, it's like the worst guy for him to fight in the division, basically.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're fighting a guy that just came off a title fight, who's got tons of wins in a row, he's a big name. If you're Kobe Covington, man, nut up or shut up. Go for it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's already talking a lot of crap on Twitter about it. People warn me I'm looking past the ancient-as-fuck UFC legend Damian Maia. Hell yeah, I'm looking past him. Tell Woodley I'm coming.
He's so great.
He's just calling him old and washed up. He wrote, aging super legend... Damian Maia is my most dangerous opponent yet. However, I am too handsome to lose to this bum. Bet the farm on me.
Okay, that knocked him down a little bit. Like, honestly,
he's tweeting like Trump would tweet if he was a fighter.
It sounded like Trump, but then when he gives... I mean, it says a lot about Trump, but then he throws in like the, I'm too handsome to lose. Like, oh, you're just doing pure pro wrestler. Pure Muhammad Ali. Like, oh, I'm too pretty. Like, come on. Like, nobody thinks that way. Nobody ever thought to themselves, I'm going to take my MCAT. I'm going to do well. I'm too pretty to flunk my MCAT. Like, no. Nobody thinks that way.
The aging legend Damian Maia signed his UFC fight contract with me, but unbeknownst to him, it is his death warrant.
Okay, so he's trying. I'll give him a, he's trying.
Well, I think it's a little tongue-in-cheek, too. You know what I mean?
I hope so.
I think it is. How old is he? Is he a millennial? He must be.
He's definitely younger than I am, and I'm, like, possibly a millennial. So he's definitely one, unless he's like the next one below that. Tranmillennials is what I'm going to call him.
James Vick versus Joe Duffy has been added to UFC 217, which is that loaded MSG card. That show didn't really need any other fights, but fun lightweight scrap.
This is what you put on a show like that. Yeah, they're guys, they're good, but they're not great. It's not like if you put this show fight on any other card, I'm going to go, ooh, I can't wait to watch.
UFC 218, we've got one official fight and a couple rumored targeted for UFC 218 fights. The one that's confirmed right now is Francis Ngannou versus Alistair Overeem. That's on December 2nd in Detroit.
Is it?
Yes.
That's 218. Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's fine. Let's see what happens. Again, put up a shut up time, boys. Guy, you're getting your shot, and this is what happens in the sport, and that's why it's a good sport. It's one of the reasons that it can replicate new stars. You take a guy like Ngannou, and you think, hey, he's got some talent, he's got some potential. Then give him a shot. You get a big name, if he's going to fight anybody, that's a guy for him to fight, a stand-up dude. So, and if you're over him, hey, beat the young guy, or eat some more rat meat that somebody labeled horse meat.
If Ngannou wins this, I think he'd be in line for a title shot.
Oh,
like, it seems way too quick, way too sudden. But this is like, if you beat JDS, it's like, maybe. But Overeem's just coming off that win over Verdum, which wasn't impressive by any stretch. But if Kane's out indefinitely, like he always is, this is the number one contenders fight for Stipe.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Velasquez, then it would almost have to be, because they'd be like the only two heavyweights with a win.
Like, I mean, the only other thing I'm seeing out there a little bit, I know Helwani's pushing for it and talking about it, is DC moving up and fighting Stipe.
Yeah, that could happen. But to me, that's just lazy booking. You can't keep doing that shit. I think that's a bad precedent in the long run. It's fine to do a super fight like that every once in a while. But if you're doing that every single year, you're just telling people that your regular title fights don't mean as much. And plus there's probably one or two people for DC to fight. Or if there's people for Stipe to fight. Like, there's still fights out there I want to see from Stipe, and I don't think he's, you know, solidified himself as a champion. Like, he kind of has, but he's right there, and I don't know.
If he gets one more win, he sets the record for heavyweight title defenses, which is three, which is pretty crazy. In the history of the UFC, no heavyweight champions defended that title more than three times.
No, it's
pretty
two
wild.
Times.
I'm saying, he'll get the record if he gets his third one.
Yeah, which is it's part of the division's history and shows how tough it is to hold a title in MMA.
And guys really punch hard.
Yeah, and then you got Mighty Mouse, who will never lose, ever.
I think Ngannou is going to knock out Overeem, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
Overeem has been more defensive and more careful than he used to be, I feel like, but I think his chin is still shot, and if Ngannou hits him once, it's over.
Yeah.
Also targeted.
Black on black crime.
For UFC 218. They're not even American, though. It doesn't really count. Henry Cejudo versus Anthony Pettis. The other one, Sergio Pettis at UFC 218, which is a fight that was supposed to happen a while ago, but Cejudo pulled out because he hurt his hand or something. If you remember, like, he went to the weigh-ins and then a day before pulled out of the fight. I think it was back in June.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sergio ended up beating Brandon Moreno, which made everyone sad and cry. And then Cejudo's coming off that win over Wilson Hayes. So this would be a number one contenders fight, too. You'd have
it
to.
It has to be. Yeah, I mean, look. Fucking Ray Borg is where they're digging to the deep, you know, deep as well. That you're going to the depth of your depth chart in football here. You're signing someone off the street. It's a movie Invincible when you're getting a Ray Borg. So at least these guys got name and that the awesome win. The way that Cejudo in particular looked in his last fight, we can go like, oh yeah, he's doing the one thing he needed to do if you want a title fight again, reinventing himself, making a point as to why. It's still not going to matter. Maybach is going to kill them both.
And still no one cares about Joseph Benavidez.
I was just thinking, what the fuck's happening to Joseph Benavidez? Did he still fight?
I think he has a fight coming up, actually.
I literally cannot remember the last time he fought.
I think he beat Cejudo, right?
Been that like last year? I kind of remember that only in that, yeah, it was last December.
December, yeah. Benavidez was expected to face Ben Wynn on June 11th at UFC Fight Night 110. However, Benavidez pulled out of the fight on May 10th with a knee injury. So he was replaced by Tim Elliott.
And it was a Ben lose then. Damn it. Never mind.
That is a weird spelling for Wynn. N-G-U-Y-E-N.
Wynn.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's better than the N-G-O. I hate that one.
How do you pronounce that?
N-G-O, I think. Or N-G is actually the worst. I see N-G a lot. I'm just like, I don't fucking know. Ning. I don't even mean that like, disrespectfully. Words have vowels.
Yeah, and if you say that one wrong, you can have Antifa protesters outside your house.
Yeah, that's the one I have to worry about them protesting me for.
We've also got Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar targeted for that UFC 218 show as the main event. Whether or not that comes to fruition, the show does need a headliner. But if those three fights happen, Overeem, Ngannou, Cejudo, Pettis, Holloway versus Edgar, granted it's not a big money show, but it's a show I would like to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. That's Detroit. I could, in theory, go to that one, except for it's December, so there's no way in shit I'm going to that one. But, yeah, that's a good card.
Yeah.
And especially in this day and age.
If it happens.
Yeah.
We'll see. Somebody will get hurt and somebody will miss weight, and somebody will pop for steroids. So I'll let you guess who is who.
Is it Overeem for all of them?
Overeem missing weight would be tough.
He's bloated up there before.
I pictured Cejudo missing weight.
Yeah, but Overeem could do all the other ones, so it's funnier that way.
True. On the same day. UFC 219, they've added Dominic Cruz versus Jimmy Rivera. That's going to be December 30th at T-Mobile in Vegas.
That's number one and then some. That's awesome.
Yeah, winner of that would obviously fight the winner of Dillashaw and what the hell's his name? The tattoo guy.
Cody Garbrandt?
Thank you.
Yes. Also, I'm actually kind of sad that fight will be happening on a pay-per-view because there's no way it's headlining, I hope. I'd really rather see that for five rounds than three. I just think that there's a little more, I don't know, just Dominic Cruz, I like to see fight five. Otherwise, look at Jimmy Rivera. Unless Cruz is hit that magic thing where just oh, he's done, he's going to murder Rivera.
I don't know, man. I like Rivera a lot. And
so do
I think,
but he's just stationary, and he's short, and he's got little midget arms.
I agree 110%. I just don't know what Cruz has left anymore with all those knee surgeries and the screwed-up plantar fasciitis in his feet. He was shooting Botox into, the soles of his feet and shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he still has it, but damn, he's done some damage to that body.
He lost to Garbrandt, but that was by decision. It was his first loss in a super long time, and he did pretty well at times. It's not like he got destroyed. Garbrandt, he's a stud. And look at him, he's so good looking. Of course he won.
That's why Colby Covington's going to beat Damian Maia.
That's the callback, yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Usually I'm oblivious to things like that. But for what it's worth, Rivera's coming off in the UFC. He is, I love doing this, 5-0, knocks out Marcus Brimage, not a big deal, but has wins over Pedro Munhoz, Alcantara, Uriah Faber, and Thomas Almeida.
Oh, yeah, he's got a hell of a resume.
Granted, it's all decisions, yeah, but they're all just unanimous decisions. It's like he's won the fights without a lot of questions or taking a ton of damage. So
he's one of those rare dudes that somehow in this day and age is at a high level in the UFC and has, you know, one, it's like 21-1 record, like some absurd thing. You go, whoa, that's a lot of fucking wins in a row, dude. Especially when, like, you're not really all that well known. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
Well, it is actually pretty funny. You got it spot on. He's 21-1, and the loss came in his second fight, so he has gone 20-0.
Yeah, that's a hell of a...
Although it's one of the, it could be the Hector Lombard thing too.
It is.
He's fighting guys that aren't as good, and you know, maybe when he actually fights the very, very elite guys, he's going to get smoked. We will see in December.
Yes, we will.
And then
there's someone else that night too. Oh yeah.
What's that?
They announced Cynthia Calvillo versus somebody.
Carla Esparza.
Yeah, that's going to suck. Actually, it's not going to suck, but I saw that, and like Calvillo was ranked number 6, and I'm like, that's really stupid. What a dearth of talent in that women's division. All three of them, apparently.
Especially all four of them. Featherweight's really rough.
I forgot there's a fourth division, though.
There's no one ranked 6th in featherweight.
Yeah, Half Guarded doesn't even have number 2. Does the UFC not have...
Whatever happened to Megan Anderson?
She was scheduled for... Oh, I know. She pulled out of the Cyborg fight. That's right.
That's what I'm saying. Is that fight going to get rebooked? I don't even hear anyone talking about it. There's no buzz for that.
There was something...
She said she had personal issues.
Yeah. I feel like I'd have a personal issue if I had to get beaten by a fucking gorilla. Yeah, her personal issue, she just didn't want to get butt-fucked by a 12-inch clit after she gets knocked out for not doing the dishes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I don't know what to say.
That was graphic, yeah.
That's a lot to take in. 15 years ago today, what happened?
Is that 2000?
MMA World.
2002.
You're usually good at this. We're going to see how much of a dork you really are.
See, September 2002. September of 2002. Let's see. August 2002 was Nogueira, Sapp, Kurokop, and Sakuraba. Let's see. September 2001, I was 9/11. There was also UFC 33 with Tito and Matushenko. So after that, we go to 2002, and this year, 2002. Let's see, that'd be UFC 40, maybe 39. No, that was November. Was UFC 40, I think. November was UFC 40, so this would be UFC like 39 or 30. This was 39. Tim Sylvia became heavyweight champion.
No.
Damn.
No. But Tim Sylvia did fight on this day, September 27th, 2002.
Did he fight? He fought Gan McGee on this day, and the next fight was
Rico? No, but Gan McGee was also on this show.
Oh, no, it was Cabbage?
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Cabbage Correa. Okay. What else was on that show? What was it?
Do you want some hints?
Sure.
It was at the Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut, which is a Native American casino.
They were all there.
The buy rate was 45,000. 45,000 people bought this show.
Yeah, let's see. Now we're talking a Matt Hughes fight.
No Matt Hughes on this show. It was called The Warrior's Return.
Warriors Return. Let's see. I, no, It's not good.
We've come a long way, man.
Warriors Return. Shamrock and Chemo? No, that was UFC 50-something. Tank and Frank Mir.
No.
Damn it.
Main event. Heavyweight title fight. Rico Rodriguez defeated Randy Couture.
Ah, okay. Kind of like one of those forgotten title reigns.
Yeah, for it was for the vacant title. It was Tripp from Barnett who popped. How you pop in 2002 is impressive. Good job, Josh Barnett. And then
they were taking anything back then.
But how do you get caught? Nobody got caught back then. What was the testing even like? It's freaking crazy to get.
Hey, you know what? The testing wasn't very good, but the drugs weren't as good either. Like testing and drug sophistication, I think they're almost like a wash. It's both kind of commensurate with one another.
So I was looking at this card, like this wasn't that bad. Like it was during like the deadest era where they were like not on a lot of places on pay-per-view. Like you couldn't even see the fights in certain part of the country, I still think at this point. But you had Rico Rodriguez beating Couture in the main event. Tim Sylvia defeated Cabbage Correa. BJ Penn defeated Matt Serra.
Was it, there was a Phil Baroni win on this?
Yeah, he beat Dave Mena by knockout. Punch
Dave Mena?
Yes, thank you. 18 seconds
in. That's right, that brutal thing. Mena was just stuck against the cage and he just unleashed on him.
Gam McGee defeated Pedro Hizo. And Kyle Uno defeated Dean Thomas.
Yeah, no, they did a good job with what they had back then.
Yeah,
they're very hardcore-oriented.
Yeah, some names. On the prelims, Matt Lindland defeated Ivan Salivary, and Sean Sherk defeated Benji Raddick.
Sherk and Raddick, did that end by cut?
Yeah, it says TKO, Dr. Stoppage.
Yep, cut on Raddick. It was one of Sherk's few stoppages. That was back in the days also when it was easier to remember everything, because I had one show every quarter, and I just watched the same thing 5,000 times.
Well, it's impressive you remembered the opener on that show that 45,000 people saw. You remembered the finish, so that was pretty nerdy.
Really wrong with me.
Well, I knew you'd be able to figure it out. I have a friend who can like remember like the sequence of like Raw main events and what like the head-to-head fight like matches still were, because. Like, at the time, like, the Observer would come out and the ratings were a big deal, and he was all into, like, the quarter hours, and we'd make fun of the people when the ratings dropped or whatever. But he was so good, like, you could be like, what was the main event of Raw heads up against Nitro in September 2000? He'd be like, oh, it was the A, B, and C. He'd be like, holy crap. I don't know if he can still do it, but, like, 10 years later, he's still good.
Yeah.
You asked me something that happened. I don't know what happened on Raw this week, let alone 20 years ago.
I watched the pay-per-view.
Was that Lesnar?
Yeah,
and
Brock just won in the end, just beat him up and just pinned him clean. I'm just like, that's my boy, this Brock Lesnar.
Supposedly the plan's always been just to do Brock and Roman at Mania again and put Roman over. Finally get him over.
Yeah, go ahead and try. I mean,
It's crazy.
It's kind of impressive if the company does this shit. Because everyone, I mean, they know. They know their crowd will boo somebody. Like, why? You know what? Maybe, I say all that, they're actually probably doing the right thing. Their business model has changed. It's not about drawing anymore. It's about they put on a product. They're going to get their ratings. He's very valuable, probably more than Brock is for corporate events and shit like that. So that's probably what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the name draws, and as long as the TV ratings are okay and they can still get a deal, they'll be fine. As long as the TV network keeps paying them. But
yeah, and their own network just keeps growing and making more and more money. And again, Brock's not going to make a wish, which would be amazing if he did, though. Oh my gosh, I want to see Brock Lesnar at Make a Wish. And Brock is like 40, only appears about 5 times a year or so.
Probably flip the kid's bed or something.
That'd be an angle. Kid hunting.
That would be an angle.
Brock attacks a sick child.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure they've done
cancer-ridden kid.
I feel like Brock's done that.
You're thinking of the one-legged guy. Remember he threw him down the stairs or some shit?
Yeah, and then he whipped him to the ring post once. Look, that guy was like 19. And
it's Zach kinda, Allen. Zach yeah. Allen.
And it kind of was his make-a-wish. So.
Oh, my God. That was crazy. That was a weird time. That's when, like, Hogan was wrestling under a mask and shit.
Yeah.
Vince is a weird dude.
Zach Gowan, this one-legged dude. So you'd assume, like, guys with one legs are going to probably, you know, congenital amputee. They're going to go through life. They're going to, I don't say be humble necessarily, but probably a little more understanding of things. He gets this... nobody could ever see coming dream where he gets to be a pro wrestler. He gets to be on TV. He's doing all these. He's living his dream, his life, and he became an asshole and a drug addict.
Well, the drug addict part, I'm sure he was in a lot of pain. That part is kind of understandable. But anytime anybody gets like their dream job and screws it up because they're a jerk or whatever. It always boggles my mind. Like, just be thankful. Ride this out as long as you can. Shut up and make the money while you're there. Like, that's how I always feel about John Jones. It's like, just get your shit together, make the money, and retire in a couple years, and then do whatever you want. Just keep it together for this five-year window, and you can be a multimillionaire, take care of your kids forever, and be set for life. And instead, you're doing coke and crashing into pregnant ladies.
It's, like, you know what?
It's kind of the same thing with Gowan.
I can kind of get it with Jones because... he's earned it, whereas Gowan, it's just luck. Like, that's a total fluke. Like, seriously, you have one leg. You're obviously a gimmick, and you know this isn't, like, real. Again, you're 19 and or whatever, and you're in WWE. If you're like Daniel Day-Lewis, you want to be a diva, dude, you've earned it. But this is like, you know, it's like whenever you hear, like I was reading about Brendan Fraser being difficult on the set of something once. And I was like, why? You're Brendan Fraser. Wouldn't you, like, just think, I'm lucky that anybody's giving me money to do this. I can be replaced tomorrow.
So, we're going to...
the Brendan Fraser of pro wrestling.
We're going to change careers here, but topics here to another guy who had a career spiraling downward and out of control until he killed himself. And we're talking about Aaron Hernandez, who we have mentioned on the show previously multiple times.
I was wondering where you're going with it. Could have been anybody. There's a lot of options on that one, well, including the soon-to-be former president of the United States.
I know we've got into this before, and I kind of shared my thoughts, and I know I'm to the extreme on this, and I've always thought, you know, this CTE stuff, the more we learn about it and the more it gets studied, the more scary it's going to be for athletes and people in combat sports or any high-impact sort of thing. There was a study, I forget, a while ago that said like 99% of these brains they examined had CTE. Do we know all about CTE yet? No, but basically there's a protein that develops in the brain. It's called tau protein, and they can see it, and it can cause a lot of different issues in people. And Aaron Hernandez had it. And if you remember, he stopped playing football at 23 years of age, and the director of the CTE Center at BU said Hernandez had stage 3 out of 4 of the disease, which can cause violent mood swings, depression, and other cognitive disorders. We're told it was the most severe case they had ever seen for someone of Aaron's age. Hernandez was 27 when he killed himself in April in the prison cell where he was serving a life without parole sentence for murder. Hernandez had shown signs of memory loss, impulsivity, and aggression that could be attributed to CTE. Now, do I blame everything Hernandez did on his whole life on CTE, brain damage, whatever you want to call it? No, the guy, not everybody who goes on murdering rampages or gets into trouble has CTE. That's just not the case. That's obvious. Could it have contributed? Maybe. Maybe he's a little screwed up from banging his head into other 250-pound dudes his whole life every day. And
that's the rough Pee Wee football.
But But here's the thing. Even at the peewee level, your head's smaller. You're still growing. And if you're ramming into a 90-pound kid and you're 90 pounds, the damage is probably similar to if you're 250 pounds and ramming into a 250-pound guy. We don't really know yet. 125-pound MMA fighters can knock out 125-pound MMA fighters.
In theory.
Just as long as,
we haven't really seen it. But.
Cejudo looked good. He knocked out Hayes. But I'm just saying, and it doesn't have to be strictly a knockout. The more I read up on it, these subconcussive blows, they call them, where it's like you just get rattled. You don't go out. Maybe you see stars, that sort of thing. You don't have to black out and be starched like the guy Aaron Pico knocked out. It could be a good jab, or it could be a bump on a wrestling ring where your head hits the back of the mat. Nobody really knows, and everybody's a little different, and people respond differently. So there's no hard and fast rule with any of this. But the other thing that caught my eye, along with this Hernandez story, this week it came out that BU is going to – they're developing a test where they can examine brains before you die. Essentially, they had to open up your skull after you died, take your brain out, and examine your brain. And there's going to be this new test.
That is that not found on that new TV show starring an autistic doctor, The Good Doctor.
So they're working on a new study, and it could change a lot of sports, a lot of combat sports, high-impact sports. If these guys are finding out, you know, at 18, 19, after playing high school, college football, that their brains are all messed up. And maybe they'll find a cure, or they'll know it's not that bad, or they can rest a certain amount of time. It's just going to be interesting how the CTE stuff plays out. I mean, the NFL's already paid out that huge billion-dollar lawsuit to all these former players. And to me, it's going to keep happening, and people are going to get more and more aware of this as time goes on.
Yeah, I don't think that whatever they find that BU releases as far as if they can do a test while you're alive, if that'll really change anything. I think the cat's out of the bag on that. It's so everywhere. Like, if I had kids, there's no way in shit I'd let them play football. I mean, I wouldn't let them play football for a number of reasons, but especially, I mean, the CTE with football seems like it's so much worse there than anywhere else. Like it doesn't happen to hockey players like this, and that's a rough sport. But
you know, to me, sorry to interrupt, but it's like if you're playing a sport where you have to wear a helmet, chances are it's not good for you. It's not good for your brain.
Well,
like people
get to wear a helmet in baseball.
I understand. That's more like on a freak wild pitch.
If we're one in hockey.
You don't wear and hockey could be a problem. Hockey.
That's true. I know.
I think could be problematic. Baseball's a little different because it's not like you're banging your head into shit constantly. That's more to protect you from a wild pitch that's rare. In football, you're wearing it to protect your head.
It is kind of unique that way. It's kind of like one of the few sports, might be the only real big sport where you wear a helmet. Oh, NASCAR. Yeah. Oh, count. Like that's not to prevent concussions so much as it is to prevent actual immediate death.
Yeah. If you really crash your car, you're fucked in NASCAR anyway. But this isn't necessarily a game changer. And eventually maybe they'll have some sort of medicine, pill you can take, rehab, something that can fix it and cure it. But to me, like, the human anatomy is pretty simple. You know, you've got your rib cage protecting your vital organs, you know, your heart, your lungs, that sort of thing, the stuff you need to live. And then you have your skull, the thickest bone in your entire body. Mine, anyway. I can't speak for your bones. But then you've got your brain in there, and the reason your brain is in there is to protect it. It's encased in there so it's safe and it doesn't get damaged. You're playing a sport that you need extra protection on your head so it doesn't get hurt. Like, it makes sense just from a logic
reason. For some reason, with all these protections,
mm-hmm.
Mother Nature.
Yes.
This is our balls hang out there.
See, but I have a theory. I have a theory about that.
I think it's just an easy access type of deal. But it's like why isn't that being protected?
But I think that's why balls are super sensitive. Like, if you get kicked in the balls, you'd rather get kicked anywhere else on your body, pretty much, yeah. I would think. So your instinct is always to protect your balls, no matter what, so, like, you can reproduce. Like, I think that's, like, an evolutionary thing. Like, maybe your balls are randomly there, but they're super sensitive, and you're going to do everything you can to protect your balls.
Yeah, but
when you get hit and go down, the first thing you do is cover up your balls. It's, like, just instinctual.
Yeah, so well, I could just instinctually cover up my heart. Then my heart could have some air.
Yeah.
Not really sure how this works, given that I don't think there's a single creature on the planet that has an external heart. But if they did, that'd be kind of interesting. Probably the guy's fish creature would do it.
But even as far as, like, your head goes with your brain and your skull, like, your face is super sensitive. You don't want your face getting hit. And I think that's partially because your brain's right behind it. Like, it all kind of makes sense evolutionary-wise. I mean, that's just... I've never read that. That's just my own
it makes
logic.
Sense. But I will say, when it comes like the CTE thing stuff, again, I think that the next development will probably be some sort of treatment. Because as soon as they diagnose it, they're going to figure out some way to treat it. And if anything, I think it'll be the thing that NFL grabs on to go, see, there's something we can do about it now. And I also think that you have to appreciate how quickly things are advancing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the old days, it'd be like, oh, that guy's reading about the thing they're going to release, and they're like, oh, it could be a decade before we get things, and it's like, okay, that's how it used to be. Nowadays, they're finding shit real quick. You know, it's not Murphy's Law, it's Kevin, whatever the rule is in technology, that it always doubles in on itself. Like, shit just comes along fast.
I get that, but it's weird because they still don't, I don't get the impression that we know everything about how the brain works and how CTE works, so how to repair and recover the brain to me seems like it's a long ways away. We've known about cancer for 50 years, and granted, they've made some advances with chemo and radiation and all that stuff. It's not necessarily a death sentence anymore if you have early detection, but there's no cure for cancer, man.
You know what's really weird? As a society, the current accepted norms is that don't fuck around with the brain. You know, we don't really, and what you said, I agree, like, we don't really know a lot, we're just kind of learning about this. Yet at the same time, we're completely convinced that it's okay to cut someone's dick off because their brain is wired differently. Like, seriously, we don't know that. Like, what the fuck? What's your only evidence is they said, I really want to do it. Well, no. It goes against your basic biology. It just said we are evolutionarily designed to instinctively protect our balls. So somebody walk around saying, cut them off. That's the worst thing evolution could ever do.
If everybody was doing it,
why would evolution have anybody do anything?
If it's 0.001% of people, who cares?
And that means that it's abnormal. And if it's abnormal, we should be looking to correct it, not to encourage it. We don't encourage any other abnormalities. Every other thing we've ever done in life is, oh, that doesn't fit. Let's make it fit.
Well, I mean, it depends how you define abnormal, I guess.
If it's 0.0001, that's abnormal. It's not normal. Normal was, it's normal. It's the norm.
I get it. But again, it's one of those things that... Here's the thing. I'm not saying, like, people shouldn't play football. I don't care. Play football. I watch MMA every day. Every once in a while, I'll get wishy-washy and be like, should I be watching this? It's fucking ridiculous. But I've already put in thousands of hours. It's too late. I can't stop. I would never say, I don't care if somebody fights. If you want to fight and you know the repercussions and the risks and you think it's worth it or you're not going to get hit or you're special and it's not going to happen to you, just like I wouldn't stop you from smoking, I'm not going to stop you from doing whatever, as long as it doesn't screw up somebody else's life.
Can't drink and drive.
I'm not a fan of that. I know you support drunken driving.
I do.
But... we could really digress here, but what is your drunken driving argument again?
That just because something increases the potential of danger doesn't mean that it is inherently that we have to stop it. That lots of things we do are dangerous, but what we don't do is punish a maybe. We punish if you actually do something. So if you actually drive improperly, mm-hmm. you've done something wrong. But if I'm okay. blitzed out of my mind and still yeah. driving properly, I haven't done anything wrong. Just as if you're sober, you can't swerve all over the lanes and be like, no, no, officer, I'm doing it on purpose. I'm stone sober.
Trust me. But don't you usually get pulled over if you're drunk and doing something stupid?
That's
like, if you're just drunk and driving normally, you don't get pulled over anyway.
Except if it's a Friday night and you have a nice car and they go, oh, your taillight's out. Or they pull you over for something that is not a driving violation. It's just, again, why do we have these taillight things? They exist solely as a pretext to see. They look, your taillight's out. And they go, you've been drinking tonight? No, officer, I can smell beer on you. And then you're like, I've only had whiskey tonight. Well, I smelled beer. They smell differently. No, they don't. All alcohol smells the same. No, it doesn't, asshole, you lying pig. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're throwing you in jail. And what did you actually do to hurt the world? Your taillight was out.
What if I went to the mall with my gun yeah. and just started shooting out at the ceiling? Didn't really shoot anybody. Nobody got hurt.
That's a harm.
Who gets harmed?
Well, there's physical damage to the property. There is the emotional, that is intentional infliction, or at least an negligent infliction of emotional distress. That is having an impact on someone. You're scaring somebody. Scaring somebody is a thing. I don't know if you're driving drunk, if you're driving properly. I can't be scared. Now, if you start swerving, that is scaring me. That is something that can be punished. That it should be punished. You've impacted my life. I've had to change some part of my brain. Had to switch because of what you did. But if I'm driving in the right lane, I don't know the difference between a drunk driver and a sober driver.
Is driving a privilege?
Yeah, driving's a privilege, yeah.
And if it's a privilege, if you don't follow the rules that are in place for driving, you can have it taken away.
Yes, no. I am not saying that you should break the law. I'm saying that the law should be changed because it doesn't make sense.
What would be the proper driving law?
You just eliminate drinking and driving as a crime. It's already every other thing that you do is already a violation. It is a violation to leave your lane. It's a violation to turn without a signal.
Understood. But don't you think the threat of getting pulled over for DUI reduces the number of people who drive drunk?
Yeah, and if you want to reduce the number of people that get in car accidents, just put giant metal spikes on the steering wheel. Everyone will drive 5 miles an hour and will never get in an accident. You can do all kinds of... The government can do all kinds of things that will make you safer.
Right,
doesn't mean that it's always good.
I wasn't saying that, but if you like spikes on the steering wheel better than drunken driving laws...
No, I'm saying that if you want to discourage behavior, you can make people drive slower that way.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do that. Right? We would never do that, even though we
Correct.
Would save lives. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, lives would be saved if you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we are willing to let people die because we think that's going too far. Same thing with drunk driving.
Mm-hmm. I like drunk driving laws.
Oh, I accept that practically it's not going to ever happen. I could live in fantasy land.
But, I mean, even, like, say, my whole thing, if I'm ever out drinking and I'm the driver, I'll never have more than 2 drinks. Just to play it safe.
Well,
I get pulled over. I don't want the hassle. That's what I've always done.
That's good, yes.
But that's always, like, since I was in college. Like, I know people would have fucking 10 beers and go try and drive home or whatever. Like, that shit happens. But for me, personally, it was like, I can't afford to lose my license. I won't be able to get to work. I don't want A, B, and C to happen. Like, that fear, I think, not just for me, but for a lot of people, makes them less likely to have a third or fourth beer and risk whatever, swerving, getting in an accident, getting pulled over. I think it's a deterrent.
This is
that probably saves lives.
So it spikes on a steering wheel.
So with no cars at all.
Yeah.
Do you want to make everybody walk everywhere?
Exactly. Do you want to outlaw cars? You'll save some lives. Actually, that one you might be able to argue you wouldn't. Because
people would die because it's too far of a walk to work.
Well, there is a benefit to the, you know, ambulances and things.
How about people who drive, like, public transportation, like bus drivers or train drivers? Can they drink?
I think that an employer would be well within their rights to say no, because if they did, they'd be... Because they are not driving. They're acting as an... They are an agent on behalf of the company. Like, they are doing what they are told to do. And therefore, they have to compose themselves to the same standard the principal would say, I want to drive sober, you have to drive sober.
Sometimes you can sell me on stuff. This is when you're not...
That's 100%, that's 100% logical. That's how an agent-principal relationship works.
Yeah, I guess I'm illogical.
No, you really are. Like, that's what a principal is. A principal says,
I'm saying the broader picture, that drunk driving should be okay. I'm having a hard time buying that, that's all.
Well, you just have to accept that, and it's fine, there's nothing really inherently wrong with saying, we will have a curb on freedom to some degree in the name of liberty, because that's just a practical thing. That's what we do. And we have taken the cost-benefit analysis and weighed the options and said, okay, yeah, the greater good is served by keeping drunk driving a certain level. I just don't know if that's necessarily true. I think it really actually saves any lives. I think that every life it might save some lives, but I think that the primary goal of these things is simply to get money. Like, I've seen the fees and stuff like that. I actually did an article on this, and here in Chicago, like in the neighboring suburbs to me, these townships were getting like $500,000 just from drunken driving fines. And it was like they were getting like $5,000 per fine, and it's like most things in law enforcement when it comes to cars especially, it serves no purpose. It's just a money making thing. That's what, you know, 90, that's right, all those cops are out there, and at the end of the month, they just seem to find more speeders, which is just so weird that we all just decide, fuck it, we got away with it that month, that week, let's go for it. I forgot what happened last time at the end of the month. Let's see if this new month is different. No, they're just doing it to make money. It's just another venue for taxation, which is improper. These things should exist to deter and to punish. It should not be a revenue source, and as soon as you start having a revenue source that results from a criminal action, the government then has an incentive to find criminals. If they want to raise revenue, raise taxes, do something else where we all go, fine, that's how it is, we all got to come together. Don't go around the back end on that.
So, it doesn't matter.
Poor bastard.
No, I have responses, but I know neither of us are going to get anywhere, so sometimes you just got to move along. In other dead people news, in addition to Aaron Hernandez, are you familiar with the writer Paul Horner?
I've heard the name.
He is a writer who trolled the nation with his fabricated news stories and claimed that he was responsible for Donald J. Trump's election victory. He died last week. The cause was a suspected drug overdose. Authorities said
Hillary
in Arizona.
Clinton was seen running away from the scene.
I knew that was going to you were going to go there.
I thought it would go with Donald Trump doing it, but Trump wouldn't be running.
Mr. Horner, 38, was found dead in his bed in Levine, Arizona, on September 18th. His family said he had been known to abuse prescription drugs, and evidence at the scene suggested this could be an accidental overdose. There were no signs of foul play. Horner's fraudulent articles could be found on Facebook, various news domains that he created, and in years past on the fake news website, The National Report. Even his byline was fake. He often went by the name Jimmy Rustling, as he did on many stories, in which he claimed protesters were getting paid $3,500 to disrupt Trump rallies. That article was tweeted out by Mr. Trump's campaign manager.
Which one?
Was
the one going to jail because he's friends with Putin?
What else did he have? His domain's like newsexaminer.net and cnn.com.de. The names contain a whiff of legitimacy.
Brilliant bastard.
On the former, a story surfaced appearing to be an interview with Mr. Horner. He was described as a former Secret Service agent who had written a book to expose the real truth about Barack Obama. The fake story said that Mr. Horner was 100% positive that Obama is not only gay, but also a radical Muslim.
It was
so widely shared that the Associated Press debunked it last year.
I doubt it was actually that widely shared.
I've heard people call him a Muslim and gay. I've heard that.
But I mean, that came from all kinds of shit. I mean, the current president of the United States said that. Like, I don't think any of this guy's fake news website when Trump was doing it.
In an interview with the Washington Post, he said, "My sites were picked up by Trump supporters all the time. I think Trump is in the White House because of me. His followers don't fact-check anything. They'll post everything, believe anything. His campaign manager posted my story about a protester getting paid $3,500 as fact. Like, I totally made that up. I posted a fake ad on Craigslist."
I think this...
And now he's dead.
I really don't think this is anything. I think that there is a genuine concerted effort. I don't think it's some conspiracy. It's just groupthink. People really buy into this whole fake news influence thing, because I think it's just a very convenient narrative. Instead of, you know, Hillary Clinton's an unlikable human being that didn't go to certain states she should have gone to. It was evil Vladimir Putin. This only is a story if you think that there's something truly, like, world-changing about fake news sites or whatever it is. Then you can go, "Oh, look at this, the death of a man that probably put Trump into office." No, he didn't. It's just some asshole. I fucking run a website that pretty much does what that shit is. Be like, all of a sudden, like, somebody's like, "Oh, Mike Coffin died," and fake Adam, previews for fake Adam Sandler movies all took a hit. But come on, like, I'm not doing anything with it.
Yeah, I get the impression this guy was kind of a big deal. I mean, a year ago, the Washington Post interviewed him. I mean, if you Google Paul Horner right now, there's 100 articles out there about his death and him being a fake news writer. He's been interviewed by CNN.
I don't think it's important, though. I don't think that the fake news thing is nearly as big or as important as I believe a lot of these organizations do. Because they think they're in the bag thinking this matters. Like, yeah, he's a big deal within that world. It's like saying I was a big deal on the Wrestling Observer message board. P.S. Your mom's still dead.
Well, speaking of moms, I'll give you an example of fake news. My mom saw this thing on Facebook. One of her friends on Facebook posted an article that said The Rock died. And she thought it was real. Like, she called me and goes, "Hey, did you know The Rock died?" I'm like, "What? The Rock didn't die." So then I started looking it up, and, like, I found the fake article. I saw the fake article, and it looked kind of like it could be real. And people have a hard time disseminating that information, especially...
Dewey defeats Truman.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a fucking headline of a mainstream newspaper.
Right.
That would be called fake news today. Some people, look, this shit's always been out there. I really hate just being blatant, outwardly partisan, but I think if you've been on the right, none of this surprises you. You've never trusted the mainstream media forever. You've looked at them and just said, for years and years and years, all you ever heard was everybody on the right going, "You guys are lying, you guys are lying, you guys are lying, you guys are lying." All of a sudden now, the other side's going, "Oh, they're lying too." No, welcome to the club. I don't trust anything anyone's ever fucking said to me.
I get it, but...
Fucking what's-his-face, Dan Rather, and you're just made up, unfact-checked stories that you're going to run 3 days before an election, you hack ass.
Don't you think a lot of it, though, is just slanted in one way, as opposed to saying The Rock is dead, or Ronda Rousey has AIDS, or Obama's a Muslim, or...
That stuff doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Like, I think The Rock is dead, or Ronda Rousey has AIDS, that's not going to do anything.
Right.
Because it's not true. Like, if I read The Rock is dead and then I turn on the news and go, "Hey, look at that, The Rock's on Raw," I'd be like, "Oh, no, yeah, maybe it tricks you. It's definitely a clickbait. It tricks you. They get some views, but I don't think it's actually changing anything." I think people that thought Obama was a Muslim thought it way before they read anything else.
They may have, but, I mean, in states where it comes down to 10,000 votes, maybe a few fake articles put it in one way or the other.
When it's that few votes, a million things could sway it.
True.
It could be. I think that James Comey had way more of an impact on the election. I think that his little October surprise did way more to sway it than any fake news stuff that was out there. I think that people are just finding stuff is confirmation bias, and they're just sharing it. People are stupid.
I agree.
People have always been stupid. I don't think that if it matters if it's fake news or real news, they're going to figure out some way to read into it what they want.
Yeah,
maybe. People are just really, really dumb. Like, I don't know why we let them vote.
No, but I think the change is the medium, and anybody can post anything, and if it catches fire, it catches fire. And there's no, like, before you had to get a newspaper, you had to watch the network news. And granted, they might have had their slant on things. It wasn't always perfect, but it wasn't some dude in his basement just making shit up. There is a difference now.
Oh, I know.
With Facebook and modern technology, that's changed the game.
The cream still rises to the crop. Like, these websites people are talking about, no one's ever heard of them. Yeah, stuff right. gets shared here and there, and it can be annoying, and it's kind of clever, the CNN.de. That is just genius. But, again, the most heavily trafficked websites are still MSNBC. I can't believe MSNBC is the biggest trafficked website in the world. I don't know
I
who
the
fuck...
That.
Yeah, it's number one.
Like, as opposed to, like not more than Google,
I
obviously.
Think it's number... Maybe it's number one for news? No, I think it's number one overall, because I think Drudge was in the top five. Because Drudge is just gigantic. The money they
make. What is it, Alexa or whatever? How do you...
For what? MSNBC?
I don't know.
It'd be Bing.
Most visited websites.
Oh.
I'll just figure it out. List of most popular websites. Let's see. It's going to be like...
And like Yahoo is way higher than it should have been. I'm like, who's going to fucking Yahoo?
It's funny. The fourth one's a Chinese website.
Oh, is
Baidu.
That?
Baidu.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes Google, YouTube, Facebook, Baidu, Wikipedia, Yahoo, Google India, Reddit is number 8.
Huh.
Tencent QQ, that was the company that was going to buy into UFC.
Was it?
Yeah, they were one of them early on with the Asian investors. Tencent, I remember that name. Taobao, which is online shopping from China. China's got a lot. There's a lot of Chinese people online. Holy shit.
Yeah, you see real quick why Hollywood's like, you know, this scene takes place in Shanghai now. I don't give a shit what the integrity of your movie is. We're going to China. Also, the Chinese are never bad guys. Because that's a billion people with just nothing to do.
Twitch is number 50.
Is it really?
Yeah. In the world.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I knew that stuff was big, but...
It's getting bigger.
All anybody's doing on the internet is watching other people on the internet. Twitch, YouTube, that's all this stuff is. Facebook, we're all just looking at each other. Like, this is what we did. All of you amateurs, what do we want to do? We're all just kind of peeping toms. We're all just an old lady with some binoculars going, oh, hey, what are those people doing? Nobody's life is interesting. Everybody's wondering what the other person's doing.
Twitter's still 13. It's kind of surprising. The one that caught my eye, Amazon's 11th. And then there's three, like, Chinese, like, online shopping sites that are get more hits than Amazon. It's kind of crazy.
It's also, I think there might be some of that with China in that. It's like it's still a developing nation, but when you can develop around new technology, whereas like here in the United States, we have so many brick and mortar stores set up to begin with, and China doesn't because it's poor. And so as they get a little bit of money, everybody's like, well, why the fuck are we going to do this? We're just going to order shit, and that way the government can just tell us in advance if it's bad or not.
The funniest one on here, I think, it's called. Actually, it might be the only Russian one on here. It's called Bonga Cams. It's number 83. It's some kind of porno.
I was going to say, like, you know these ratings can't be that accurate. Where's porn listed?
There's a few, but it's mostly shopping and search engines. People search, because you go to the search engine to search for your porno. then it doesn't you pick which one you want. It's really it divvies up the pie.
Like, man, the porno should be, I don't know if it should be higher. Actually, it's kind of sad that it is so high when there's so much of it out there, and it's still that high.
There's like, nothing on the top.
Like, imagine if there were, like, imagine, you said one of them was like the 80s or whatever. Imagine if there was like 10,000 search engines that everybody looked at. Like, you wouldn't have, like, Google wouldn't be very big then.
No.
Like, fuck, man, I can't even, I can't really use a computer and not see naked people at least once a day. You don't even have to want to. It just is going to happen.
Yeah, it's just the human anatomy. It's okay. Speaking of death, death has been the theme of stuff so far today, so we're just going to keep it going. I know you're not a coffee fan, but there's a company called Death Wish Coffee. And the USA...
Death Wish. All right, never mind. I was thinking something else.
Anyway, didn't Brock have something like that? Something death?
Yeah, Death Wish, I think, was one of his sponsors or something.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a different company. So they make a cold brew coffee, and the USA Today
sponsoring Brock Lesnar and hipsters in the Greenwich Village.
USA Today reports the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is recalling cans of Death Wish Nitro Cold Brew Coffee due to the possibility of botulism. The issue seems to stem from the brewing process, which could enhance the growth of botulism. Botulism is an illness that attacks nerves in the body and can lead to paralysis or death. Death Wish Coffee promotes itself as being the world's strongest coffee.
Well, I mean, they've already established if you drink it, you have a death wish, so what's the problem here?
It's just kind of ironic that Death Wish Coffee is being recalled because it could kill people. It's coffee.
Well, again, people know what they're getting into. You're getting some Death Wish coffee, man. Like, you gotta have a Death Wish. Fucking drink Death Wish, man. It's like riding a roller coaster without a seatbelt on. You know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I feel like you should be doing some, like, serious drugs or something if you're gonna die from imbibing. Did you see It yet?
No.
No? I actually saw it the other night.
Oh, yeah? How was it?
Eh, it was all right. I have a hard time with movies like that because it's so, like, fake. I need it to be a little bit real. I have a hard time, like with my sense of disbelief and that sort of thing. But it was all right. It was like, fine. Whatever.
Like, you presumably get a night out away from the kids and you spend it seeing It?
It was complicated. We went out to dinner before, my wife and I. And we had to be back home by like 8:45 for the babysitter. Mm-hmm. So by the time we got to the movies, there was one other movie playing, like American Assassin or something, which I didn't even know what it was. So we went and saw It. Those were my two options, our two options. And we said, let's go see the movie everybody else has seen and they're talking about. Huh. So we could actually be up on things for the first time in a decade.
Is that really like I guess some married people do, like, look forward to, like, we're just going to go out to eat dinner. And, like, that's just, you're really good with this. Like, all you want, just, like, 2 hours away from your children. That's it.
Yeah, and it's, like, a struggle. You got to plan it. And it's funny. Every once in a while, someone would be like, hey, do you want to go do this tomorrow night? I'm like, I need a month's notice to do anything. What? Seriously? Come on. Either I'm working or I've got nobody to watch the kids, and I got to find somebody else to watch the kids on a couple days' notice when I've already had to line up 3 babysitters for the week already. It's like, come on, give me 4 weeks if you want to listen to my glib comments in person.
I guess, though, in this era with, like, all the super TVs we have and social media, it's probably got to be easier in the sense of, like, if you don't see a movie in the theater, you can still watch it in a really good quality and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty quickly thereafter. And, like, you're going to kind of be up to date on things a little bit. And kids these days, they raise themselves anyways. They got the internet and they got Reddit. So you don't really have to do much.
Yeah, usually once a week we'll have a movie night. We'll take turns and pick one, yeah. My son always
makes sure they get that slut vaccination.
My son always gets bored like halfway through and starts watching YouTube videos instead. He he'll go on the other couch and get the iPad and watch, like...
I can't fault him on that.
Kids play with trucks and stuff, but he'll pick the movie, and then we're stuck watching the movie because we already started it and it was his pick.
Yeah, that happens to me, too. Gotta bring your own iPad.
Everywhere you go.
Bring mine everywhere.
I don't know if you heard about this story, but on Tuesday in Palm Beach, Florida, sheriff's office said in a statement that Sheila Keen Warren had been arrested in Washington County, Virginia, for allegedly dressing up in a clown costume, walking up to the front door of her future husband, Michael Warren's then wife, Marlene Warren, and shooting her in the face. Police have not yet said whether Michael Warren was involved in his former wife's death. Any murder's horrific, said Sergeant Richard McAfee during a press conference.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're wearing a clown costume or not.
But it's a little funnier if you are.
This happened 27 years ago.
Oh.
So, like, they finally arrested this woman 27 years later in this killer clown cold case.
Oh, I thought this was all, like, some whack job woman's like, this will hide me, like, she just saw it.
She might have saw the original one.
So wait, the clown thing worked?
For 27 years.
That's pretty damn good for murder.
Well, I'm more amazed that it came out, the story broke the same week it came out,
yeah.
Essentially. 27 years later is pretty fucked up. So basically, on May 26th, 1990, Marlene Warren was at her Wellington, Florida home with her son and his friends when she answered her door to find a clown with a curly orange wig carrying a flower arrangement and two balloons. According to the sheriff's office, the clown offered the items to Marlene Warren wordlessly, and a moment later there was the sound of a gunshot and Warren had collapsed on the ground. Warren's son heard the gunshot and found his mother bleeding to death in the doorway. Police reports say that he then watched the clown calmly walk back to a white Chrysler LeBaron and drive off. Warren died in a hospital 2 days later.
This was the last thing that ever happened in her life. It was literally a horror movie. You knock on the door, a clown is standing there, it doesn't talk, hands you some mysterious things, and then shoots you in the face. Holy crap. Like, that is exactly what you, like, tell a kid in, like, a campfire story or something.
Ooh. It's pretty ridiculous. Authorities first suspected widower Michael Warren after family and friends noted that the couple had been having marital problems. Suspicion also turned toward Sheila Keen 4 months after the murder when they discovered that the pair had been having an extramarital affair. At the time, however, there was not enough DNA evidence to convict either of them. The crime was considered a cold case until 2014 when it was reopened by the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office Cold Case Unit. Witnesses were recontacted and additional DNA analysis was conducted. It was also learned that Sheila Keen had married Michael Warren, Marlene Warren's husband, in 2002. Both had been living in Tennessee operating a restaurant together. As a result of the investigation, probable cause was established linking Sheila Keen Warren to the murder of Marlene Warren. It's pretty fucked up.
I wonder if she should go to jail or not. Like,
murdering someone?
I mean, I know she did it, but, like, if she had been, like,
why was she dressed as a clown? It's fucking weird.
It's a hell of a detail.
I almost think, like, the husband was a whack job and told her to dress up like a clown. Like, that's my theory.
I don't know, man.
Nothing makes sense.
But I feel like, you know, again, if she had been convicted, she'd probably be out already. It'd be some, you know, maybe she could be after 20 years in jail. And I mean, she's not who she was back then. You know, imagine who you were 20 years ago. You're not that same person. She'd really be punished for that person's dumb crime.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Last week we talked a little bit about Toys R Us going out of business, at least bankrupt. I guess they're not out of business. They just are $5 billion in debt.
They're trumping it.
Walmart is obviously very successful, not going the same path.
I was going to say, like, what?
They have a new marketing idea. And I'm going to ask you what you think of this because you never know. Because you never know which way you're going to go with things. I never know what to expect with you. You're very erratic. So Walmart is now offering to stock your fridge for you, even if you're not home. The big box giant is teaming with a smart lock startup called August Home to test a service in which workers would use a temporary door code to deliver groceries straight to your kitchen. Walmart VP Sloan Edison wrote, "Think about that. Someone else does the shopping for you and puts it all away. This may not be for everyone, and certainly not right away, but we want to offer offer customers the opportunity to participate in tests."
What? This isn't going to fucking work. What the fuck?
The deliveries will be monitored. No. There's some code or something.
I'm not going to give them a... I have to have a new doorknob or something with a code, shit.
The deliveries will be monitored by security cameras.
If you're shopping at Walmart, you're not gonna have the money for this.
The deliveries will be monitored by security cameras provided by the startup, and customers will have the option of watching the process in real time via an app. The couriers contracted through the startup Deliv will only let themselves in if no one answers August Home's smart doorbell, which triggers a smartphone notification when pressed. The trial is currently limited to a small group of August Home customers in Silicon Valley.
Of course.
Did you call them whores?
I said, of course.
Oh, I'm like, why are they whores? Walmart sluts. Walmart's been doubling down on sometimes quirky experiments like these as it looks for new ways to challenge Amazon's dominance for online shopping market. The online grocery market has been one of the most cutthroat fronts of that battle, especially since Amazon took over Whole Foods in a blockbuster deal this past summer. So, like, a lot of the things I'm seeing is that Amazon scooped up Whole Foods, but is going to, like, slash prices at Whole Foods, and they don't even care. Like, it's a loss leader. They don't care if Whole Foods loses money because they're trying to compete with Walmart and these other huge conglomerates. So to combat that, Walmart's going to not only take the order for your groceries, they're going to bag them, bring them to your house, and put them away while you're at work.
I mean, it's just so weird.
And sounds weird to me, too.
Like, I'm a big fan of a lot of this type of stuff. I'm envious that Tony, like, doesn't go to the grocery store. Like, all of his groceries get delivered to him by Amazon. And I think that's awesome. Like, I can see that being really convenient for a lot of, like, you know, your weekly groceries especially. Like, yeah, I could see that working. It works really well. They just show up at the door. You take care of everything. And, it's kind of cool. Especially when you're somebody like me who does not, like, I'm going to buy vegetables or fruits and shit you need to, like, touch. But, I don't know, man. Like, having somebody come and put it into my house, it's not even, like, forget about the safety thing. Let's just presume they can do that. It's just weird. Like, how lazy are you? They have people to do this. They're just called butlers. Just get a servant. If you really need someone to put the groceries in the cupboard for you, just the next step is, hey, why don't you stay here and make it for me? Why don't you clean those dishes? Did you make my bed? Yeah, just go for it. And then you just don't let them out of the house anymore because the code doesn't let them out.
All right. I don't mind going to the grocery store.
I love the grocery store, too.
I like the grocery store. I've got no issue. I know people complain about it, like, oh, I got to go to the grocery store. I'm like, wow, I don't mind going.
Every time I get to go, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go to the grocery store. And then I can walk up and down the cookie aisle and all this stuff I never could look at as a kid. I think it comes from, like, being a child at the grocery store with my mother and always being told no. And now I can – and I tell myself no nowadays. But, oh, it's just so much fun. I just look around like, oh, this is great. Look at all this refined sugar. I could die in a week if I just stayed here. But oddly enough, I don't like to go through the cashier. I miss the self-checkout. I like that a lot.
Depends how much stuff I have. Changing gears here. This was a weird story that caught my eye. I forget what it stands for, though. But anyway, the SPCA of Niagara officials took in a large number of small animals. This is in Upper New York State from a Lockport area home on
Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Thank you. I do not support them. After investigating the home, the SPCA personnel said in a post to Facebook that they removed, get ready for these numbers, from this one house. They removed 31 snakes, 30 quail, 13 rabbit, one of which was pregnant, 10 cats, 5 ferrets, 2 sun canaries, parakeets, and roughly 250 rats and mice. One of the snakes had to be euthanized on Tuesday due to a respiratory ailment.
When they say they found the rats and mice, were they like pets or just so dirty?
We don't know.
Okay.
Some of the other snakes will need medical care and are awaiting a vet appointment set for next week. The animals have been signed over to the shelter, but staff said they will not be made available for adoption right away.
Who had this shit? Like, who does that? Like, this isn't crazy old lady shit. This isn't something where I'm like, okay, I can see myself, like, eventually adopting, like, 10 dogs, because I like dogs so much. Like, I can see it happening somehow. These are weird animals. This sounds like something that Armenians have, and then they would be selling shit. Like, cause those are, some of these are, like, things you sell.
There's not a lot of information. It's mostly just about the numbers.
I just got a text message. We have breaking news right now.
What's that?
It's real breaking news. Hugh Hefner has died.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Let the boobies hit the floor.
Is that yours, or was that also in the text that was sent to you?
That was Chris Jericho.
Really? Jericho's the one that broke this news.
Yeah, no, the let the boobies hit the floor is Chris Jericho.
No, I get it. I get it. That's actually clever. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let me. Do we know how or what happened?
I just got to text. I found out that Hugh Hefner died the way we all want to find out that the godfather of porn died. My mother texted me.
Ha! This is quite the podcast, I must say.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, you've got that house condemned in Niagara. You could probably buy that house cheap, I bet.
Yeah, but...
It could be on Fixer Upper.
It'd be haunted with all the dead animals that are buried there, like Cujo.
Would you rather be haunted by dead animals or dead people? Wow.
Dead people. Because they're people still. Like, an animal is like...
But what if the animal's like a cute little puggle?
Well, here's the thing. I presume that all dead spirits are angry and mean. So, like, an angry, mean dog is going to be snarling and biting and barking. I know that's scary. Like, I don't want to fight a dog. Like, a person that's angry, I can punch a person. I know how to do that. I don't want to, like, punch a dog and the dogs bite you and shit. Oh, fuck that. Yeah.
Huh. So Hefner was 91.
Jeez, what a life.
That's pretty old. 91's.
Oh my gosh. The way he lived, that's like 214.
It's like dog years or something.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Who knew? He seemed like the type of person who'd be alive forever, like George Burns or something.
He was alive forever. He's 91 years old.
Right, but, like, even when I was a kid, he was old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was 60 when I was...
He's been wearing a fucking robe for 50 years.
That is a weird look. No one else in the world did that.
What a boss. He made it work. He just said, yeah, I'm fucking Hugh Hefner.
Like, it's a good gimmick.
It is. Like, I really... At the end, he couldn't have given a shit. Like, his dick couldn't have worked for the last 2 decades. But he's Hugh Hefner. It's like, he knew... He existed... He was symbolic. He's like the Civil War monument, but for porn, but for the good side. So like the Union.
He wore one of those weird sailor hats a lot too. I remember.
He needed a pipe.
He did, yeah, yeah. It's also weird.
How he lived a life.
Huh. All right. I get distracted when I go back onto Twitter. So last story for this week, because we got to wrap this thing up here. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Fatberg in London.
Yep.
We were talking about the sewers and how does that happen, like what our country, the United States, that sort of thing would never happen. Well, what's happening in the United States as we speak?
Detroit or somewhere in Ohio, like the Ohio Valley?
So, it actually relates back to a couple stories from a couple weeks ago.
I can't be expected to remember every story we did over the past couple of weeks.
How dare you?
I don't remember.
They're all very important. These are monumental stories. A massive lump of congealed fat, wet wipes, and other shit, dubbed the Fatberg, is growing underneath the streets of...
New York? Yeah? Hello? I really don't hear you. This isn't a joke. Why don't I hear you? You're still connected. This is a hell of a dramatic pause. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if you can hear me. I wonder if anybody can hear me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Yes, Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
I was screaming Baltimore for the last 30 seconds.
What the hell happened?
I think I was banging really hard on the computer for my drum roll.
That's what I figured. Baltimore. Oh, Baltimore's a shit. That's kind of weird.
Remember Baltimore? That was where those guys tried to rob the restaurant across from the police station, and we're saying it's like the most dumb city in the country. Now they've got this huge, like, congealed lump of fat stuck in their sewer system. The Baltimore Department of Public Works said Monday it discovered the Fatberg earlier this month in a sewer main between Baltimore Penn Station and the 1700 block of Charles Street. So far, the Fatberg has been responsible for a dry weather sewer overflow on September 21st that discharged around 1.2 million gallons of sewage into the Jones Falls. When engineers decided to explore the sewer to determine the cause of multiple sewer overflows in the area, they discovered the Fatberg. The walls of a 100-year-old 24-inch-wide pipe were caked with congealed fats, oils, and grease. Up to 85% of the pipe was clogged with the congealed fat, blocking the flow of sewage. Raymond said there were other smaller Fatbergs throughout the city's pipes, but none as large as the one under Penn Station. Raymond said the city has a fats, oils, and grease known as fog prevention program targeting restaurants and other food establishments. When the substances go down a pipe, they congeal, harden, and often attach to other items that don't break down in the sewer, such as wet wipes. Raymond added, fog can block up a homeowner's pipes, causing an expensive call to a plumber as well.
The wet wipes thing always gets me. It's that detail. I don't know why. I just assumed there was some way to take care of wet wipes. But so it's basically a big thing of fat. And you're telling me that it was in Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of fried chicken in that area. That probably explains a lot of this.
Well, it's funny, because around here, there's not a lot of, like... it's like septic tanks here. Like, I know in a lot of the modern United States, they've got, like, sewer systems.
Yeah.
Most of the Cape does not. Like... It's not a sewer system. It basically, there's like a leaching field, and it leaches into
a
the...
A leaching field? What the fuck is that?
Google it. It's a thing. Like, a lot of basically what happens in restaurants, a lot of restaurants, they'll call it a grease trap, that when the dishes get washed or whatever, it's supposed to catch some of the grease, but some still will go into your septic tank. Around here anyway, and eventually that blows out into a leaching field, and it's got like a layer of sand, and the sand and everything filters it before it gets down to the water table. It's a thing on Cape. It's old school, and we need to get a real actual sewer system here. But anyway,
what are they spending all that, the taxes all that, on out there?
I don't know. Well, like Boston's got stuff. We're out in the sticks here. It's old school, and the population didn't used to be as big on the Cape. It was a summer place. It didn't really matter. We don't have the flow of shit and piss that most places do. But back to the restaurant aspect of it. Every day there's butter, oil,
nice.
all sorts of stuff going down the drain. Like, you try and train the dishwashers, you know, wipe it out into the trash, don't run it through the dish machine, and let it go down the drain. But it can. It'll create, like, big, basically a layer of sludge, and then the water and stuff can't filter through, and you can have backups. That's basically what's happening in Baltimore. It's like, sometimes it'll go down the drain hot, whether it's like oil or butter or like mayonnaise. That's just eggs and oil. That'll harden up if it gets cold and be stuck in the drain, and it backs up. And essentially, like, I feel like more and more people use like wet wipes and not using toilet paper because it hurts their buttholes and stuff. No, but that's what people are doing. I don't think years ago wet wipes were as big of a deal as they are now.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of people that carry them around. I'm like, are you fucking, you're a grown man. What do you have wet wipes for? Just use a sheet of loose leaf like the rest of us.
Right, and that stuff's okay to flush because it disintegrates, but the wet wipes hold up longer. Like, wet wipes have stretch. You can rip them if you try hard enough, but if that's stuck in a drain or something, or, like, you would never, you're not really supposed to flush, like, wet wipes at your home, at least around here, because, again, it'll clog up your septic system.
I never really thought about what I'm allowed to flush. I just flush whatever fits down there, to be honest.
I know, but, like, paper towels are no-no. Where you live, are you, like, on a sewer system?
Yeah.
Yeah, because here it's, like, the total opposite. There are no sewer systems.
When you guys, like, watch It and the clown is in the sewer, you're like, what the fuck is that thing?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we don't have those. Huh. Like, to me, that would, like, I would, is there, like, actual shit in those?
I think that there's pipes now.
Like, it's filtered or something?
What they do is they take it and it goes through, like, a cleansing thing, and then they filter it, and then they use the water somehow for something else.
Like, I know our way of doing it sounds fucking weird to normal people, but I don't really know any other way. So,
if you guys have, like, a hurricane hit, will just, like, giant turd missiles fly around?
What?
Like, the septic tanks, aren't they, like, above ground and everything?
No. They're underground. Like, my house, like, my block where I live,
Yeah. Everybody
has their own septic system. So,
you just shit into your backyard, basically.
Essentially, yeah, it's weird. Like, I've always thought it was gross. It makes no sense. Like playing sports where you need a helmet. But
you guess so you literally shit where you eat.
I don't eat underground.
That's true. Do you guys have, like, really good, like, fertile soil then?
My grass is pretty green at the moment.
There you go.
But essentially, so, like, you would flush the toilet, or anytime anything goes down a pipe, it goes outside into the septic system, and that filters out into, like, what they call a leaching field, and it kind of separates it. But every, like, 2 or 3 years, you're supposed to get your septic tank pumped. Like, we have, like, septic trucks that'll come with a big-ass hole. I got to dig my grass up, pull the cover off the septic tank, and they pump it and take all your shit and piss away. And you're supposed to do it, like, every couple of years to help the system keep running. Because if it fails, there's, like, a Title V septic inspection you got to get anytime you buy a house with a septic tank. And if it fails, like, you got to replace it or you can't sell the house. So it's good to keep up with it because it's like an $80,000 thing to get replaced. It's no joke.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
Dude, at the restaurant we spent
– oh.
I shouldn't say we. The guys who own the place have spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars on it over the years. It's crazy.
Well, that's a very fitting and somewhat metaphorical end to the show.
Yes. Anything up on the people should look out for?
Maybe.
You writing anything?
Yeah,
what are you doing over there?
I got some stuff percolating in my head.
Okay. And anything coming out tomorrow besides this awesome podcast focused on death and shit?
I don't know. I don't know if we can really top that. But if we can, I will.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We will be back next week. This is MMA and Stuff on halfguarded.com, iTunes, Google Play. Catch us later.
I'm finished.